you'd like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules and a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi, everybody. We will have our special tribute to Mother's Day, as always, on the show this year.
It's a beautiful thing.
But let's start today our, what do they call it on the Regis show? The tribute to Mom, what is the Mom's?
Mom's Week Spectacular.
Mom's Dream Come True. Well, it was a long setup for just a very brief message for Mother's Day from Miss Carrie Spiewak.
It was really hard because he would tell me he was sorry. He would do something like push me or throw me against the wall, but then he would cry and say, I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't mean to. I just lost my temper. I love you.
There it is.
That's a great tribute from your wife, Gary.
You know, she doesn't often come on the show, and I thought it would be
such
nice.
A lovely speaking voice.
She really does.
Was that you playing the piano in the background?
That was Robert playing the piano. I told him he had to, or there would be punishment.
It's lovely.
Could we hear it again?
You love your wife?
Gary Spiewak. Yeah.
Mother's Day.
It was really hard because he would tell me he was sorry. He would do something like push me or throw me against the wall, but then he would cry and say, I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't mean to. I just lost my temper. I love you.
It shows my sensitive side as well.
Sure does. Yes indeed.
Because I'll cry.
Mm-hmm. It's well for you.
We cry together.
You never seem to learn, though.
What's that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you and Wade, save some for me.
Okay, I think we got this worked out here today. I'm going to try this guy right here. Caller, you're live.
Hey, how are you?
We finally got you, right?
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah. How you been?
I've been great. I'm wide awake.
And... Oh, that's good.
Anyway, the reason I called is because this is the first year, and I don't know how long, that I've been interested in football. I think the last time I cared was when Dave DeBuscher won the Stanley Cup and gave that great speech on the Don and Mike show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Dave DeBuscher, you're talking about with the New York Knicks?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he won the Who's This Thing? And that was when, you know what I missed the most?
Time listening.
I miss it when you crapped your pants.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Go get some pussy.
Right, yeah.
All right.
Okay, so you're a liar too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I
don't f*** yourself. Where's your crap detector now, see?
Good one.
Folks, I hope you didn't get that. I hope we didn't get that on. Okay.
Too late.
We have gotten this idiot twice. Where do we find these people, for heaven's sakes? Let's try this guy.
Yeah, I've heard him before.
Oh, yeah.
He has a very noticeable setup.
Oh, did he?
Well, when he answers you certain questions, and then when you hear the telling word Don and Mike.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've ever talked to this guy. Has he called other shows?
Yes. There's also a little clue here, too, you missed, I noticed.
Okay.
When he said Dave DeBuscher.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter.
When he said about that show, I said, oh, he always talks about that show, the Don and Mike show. That's when he comes with his delivery.
Well, now we know, call you so one. We'll be on guard again. So what's on your mind this morning?
I thought you was perceptive, man.
Right, I am perceptive.
I thought you was perceptive.
That's
man.
The kind of call you want right after him.
Yeah. Here on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, let me turn down my radio.
We have 5 minutes left.
I just wanted to... Hello.
Yes, I'd like to squeeze in a few calls, so go ahead, be brief.
Yes, I want to know what your opinion is of a statement that John Kerry made, who looks like he's a bit constipated, in my opinion, by the way, that he made a comment that Don Geronimo has the largest he's ever touched.
Oh, God.
All right, let's try one more.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, how are you doing? Good morning to you, and how's everything?
I'm a little sad tonight, so I thought I'd put the radio on.
Oh, boy, and you got me. Oh, this is great. Are you feeling any better?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better.
That's good. That's anything I can do for you.
Yeah, I'm a little sad. My friend Mike can't get a date, and I feel bad for him because he's a really nice guy.
Nice guy, nice.
Yeah, he was at a Maxim party last week, and he tried to give one of the models a Roman helmet, and it didn't go over well.
I see. Well, thank you for calling. I thank you for calling. Listen. whatever your friend is doing, make sure that he does it safely.
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 Oh, yeah.
Hi, everybody. Well, hi, everybody.
Who doesn't love some grand funk? Isn't that right, Dale Jr.?
What not?
whatnot.
It's that good, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds great.
Whatnot. 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 Whatnot.
I gotta do that all day.
Dumbass. Be warned. This is extremely graphic. So if you have small children in the room, don't let them disturb you.
I just want to lie on the beach and eat hot dogs. That's all I've ever wanted.
Sword fight, you know.
You know.
You know.
Sword fight!
What not?
Oh, yes, it is. Hey, Dale?
What not?
I can't pee in public bathrooms.
What glorious goo.
What glorious goo.
Don't never, ever trust fighting.
How about this guy?
What not?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Big, big, big. Bigger than big.
Big, 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 big.
Bang, 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 bang.
Oh, oh.
Is everybody happy?
Uh-oh. Dongo!
And now a word from Carrie Spiewak.
It was really hard because he would tell me he was sorry. He would do something like push me or throw me against the wall, but then he would cry and say, I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't mean to. I just lost my temper. I love you.
You bastard, Rock.
What not?
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
here's Don and Mike.
Thank you, Big Ed.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hi there.
What not?
Not a Mike show. Hi, little brains. We're little brains just like you.
Oh, we sure are.
It's Friday, and phone number same as it was yesterday. 877-365-3636. I believe the total number of whatnots, 27.
27, not the original 37 as speculated on this show yesterday.
Yeah, he's got a couple of hiccups where he starts to say what not and instead throws in like a what fur.
What fur?
Good for him.
What not?
Dale Jr.,
well,
of course.
27 is plenty.
Mm-hmm. We'll hear all of the Dale Jr. whatnots in just a moment.
As you know, on this show, one is plenty.
Because we broke that story yesterday.
That's right.
I was breaking news here that Dale Jr. had all those whatnots yesterday.
He was using it more than anybody could use it. He's using it more than he used
uses fresh tires.
He was upset.
I would like to start today by saying get well to my girlfriend.
Oh.
This poor gal. She had the colonoscopy today.
Right.
And it's the one where you go to the hospital early in the morning and they mm-hmm. knock you on the head and then they violate you and then they bring you out in a push cart.
Right.
Well, anyway, she's got to take the
wheelbarrow. Grocery cart.
No, it's like the kind in Home Depot.
Right. They she's actually sitting cross-legged on one of those orange push carts.
Well, as anyone who's had this procedure done, they give you all of this stuff the day before and the night before that you're supposed to take that
horrible.
Evacuates your system
thoroughly, yeah,
and
completely, so as to get a clear and clean picture of your colon.
And I've done it, you've done it. It's like drinking sulfuric acid. I
horrible.
Mean, you can barely force the first cup of this thing down, and they give you like an atomizer jug, and they say drink it all within 30 minutes.
Well, I've gotten a taste for it. Actually, I've gotten kind of immune to it because I have my colonoscopies weekly. I get them weekly now, and I enjoy them. I really
vodka.
Do.
Well, yeah, this poor gal, my girlfriend, Jan, I got home last night, and she really did not look well.
Mm.
And I said, you know, hey, sweetie, what's going on? Because she had been fasting all day anyway, and she was crying a little bit, and she said, my stomach hurts. I said, oh.
Oh, she had a bad reaction to it.
Well, she said, you're not going to believe this. I took the stuff, and after about like 10 minutes, I threw it all up.
Ooh. She might be allergic to it.
No, she called the doctor's office, and they sent her back to CVS to get another atomizer jug.
Oh, no. She had to drink it
again. So she went through the entire process.
Oh. Did she just not like the feeling of it going down? Is that what it was?
I am simply...
Because it's usually lemony and quite nice taste.
I am simply a companion, a lover, a friend.
Right.
I am not a medical doctor. I don't know. All I
never heard of anybody throwing up. I guess she had a bad bad reaction.
I guess if you really didn't like the whole thing.
It's like salty lemonade. It's like lemonade with a lot of salt in it. There's nothing pleasant about it.
Oh,
it's
I love
nauseating.
I don't know what you're talking about. I enjoyed it.
You know, she had already evacuated everything. And I said, well, if everything's evacuated, meaning
both up and down.
Yeah, everywhere. She was just, it was dead at both ends. She said, well, the doctors say that I need to take this,
yeah.
And they don't know how much of it was in my system before.
Right. Yeah, because I guess if you threw it up, you got to make sure everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we started.
Got to be horrible.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, we started that over last night, and let me see then. Got up very early today. Bear with me. A little sleep deprived again. We got up 5, because they got that deal where you got to have her there by 6.
Yeah.
And then when she was done, I felt so bad for her because I imagined that even though she had had a rough night, that I'd get her and bring her home and pamper her a little bit, and she'd more or less be okay.
Down
sure.
Back.
Well, I get there, and I'm waiting. Finally, they call my name, and they say, hi, pull your car around front. We're going to wheel her out in the push cart.
Right.
And I think it's standard hospital procedure, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just whistling a happy tune and go out to my car. I pull up out front. And you would have thought that Tony Soprano's mother was getting out of the pushcart because
she was really in bad shape.
Well, she was groggy, out of her mind.
Oh, okay, yeah, the drugs.
She was loopy from all the stuff, and she was almost falling out of the chair.
Oh, my.
You know, and doing her best to steady herself.
Wow.
And she had such a rough night.
Well, she's
last
a little
night.
Bit of a thing, so you know, I mean, that's. That's a lot of drugs.
Sign it.
You know?
So,
yep.
Anyway, get well, Jan.
Yeah.
Get well. Don't let that stop you from doing your chores today, though.
Well, she should be coming out of it fairly quickly, I would think. You know?
I don't know.
Get a nap?
Yeah, she did get a good nap today.
Good. Right, that's good.
But she still has that, I know the look, you know the look where, you know, and you can't say this to somebody because it sounds like a put-down if you say, oh, God, you look sick.
A little beaten
up. You know, yeah, you know. You look a little road tired. Well, well, no doubt she had.
And some people react badly to the anesthesia, too. You
yeah.
Know? I know I did one time when I had my shoulder surgery.
No, not me. I love anesthesia.
Anyway, love you, Jan. Hope you're feeling better, honey. What not?
What not?
What not? Last night when I was watching TV, I'm amazed. I saw an ad for the America's Got No Talent show, and Hasselhoff is still a judge on that show.
Yeah.
Am I the last guy in the room to know that?
He had a drunk clause in his contract. It's not like the producers. He can show up bombed to America's Got Talent.
He looks drunk in the clip I just saw. In the
he probably
I
is.
I saw the ad last night during The Office, and it, like, did a double take, like in the cartoons when the head goes, you know, it's like... He's still on that show?
Hasselhoff is still there. And, well, don't they do that show live, too?
I don't know.
No, that is taped. Do you remember when they did it with Old Man Regis?
Oh, yeah, they put it in the can. So what you were seeing was probably the magic of a videotape from Hasselhoff.
No, this was yeah, but a new episode because...
Well, you said it's not live, though.
No, it's not live, but they obviously have a couple of episodes in the can.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah, what?
I just said, yeah, it's on tape, so that's...
What did I say?
You said no.
No to what?
I don't know.
To live, but that
no, it's not live.
Right?
Did I disagree with you?
No, you said no, it's not live, and I said, well, then it was probably on tape, and then you said no again.
It's live on tape.
No.
You know when they say that live on tape?
I think it's on tape.
It is, Mike. I'm sorry. I'm loopy tired.
You're loopy tired.
It is taped.
It's taped. So then, who knows when it was in
but,
the can?
No, but my point is that it had to be. Well, gosh, I guess the Hasselhoff video came out last week.
Right.
I'm surprised that they wouldn't have axed him out of the show.
That means if they're showing the video, if they're showing the tape, that means they're probably going to stay with him.
Bingo. That's kind of the point that I was getting to. And he was really featured in the promo, and it was not a promo from last year's show because Sharon Osbourne was on.
Was he eating a cheeseburger in the promo?
No, but Buzz, if you've seen the clip, doesn't he, like, wave that arm, that... one bad wing of his around in the air?
We should try to get the clip. He's waving his hands in the air saying, oh, we're going to have some fun now or something. And he sounds just horribly drunk.
Well, he's been on talk shows yeah. where we have speculated, even before this tape came out, he's been on talk shows where he appeared to be bombed.
Right.
When he was telling the story about the incident on the airplane where he called 911, he sounded drunk when he was telling that story.
He definitely looks it and sounds in here.
The show is taped.
No. No, and it wasn't a no. It was a no-no.
No-no?
No-no.
No-no.
In the great tradition of Dennis Murphy.
No.
Who answered every question with no.
No-no, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's quite... You're sleep-deprived.
What not?
What not?
What not? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Alan. And David Hasselhoff just performed his last performance here Sunday in Las Vegas, and they said at the close of the show that he was leaving in order to go do America's Got Talent.
Uh-huh. I heard that he got a standing ovation at the conclusion of the producers as well. Might have gotten one when he came on stage in the first place, but apparently the crowd was very, very warm towards Herr Hasselhoff.
Since the tape has been out there.
Since the tape had been released, they were showing him support. But then again, these are the people that are going to go see the producers in Las Vegas.
I'm going to stop.
Yeah, with David Hasselhoff.
Can you imagine that? I mean, all the crap you can go see there. You're going to go pop in and see the producers.
I mean, what was Scott Baio busy?
You remember that? Well, you didn't see it. I remember seeing the billboards when I was out in Vegas the last time, and just something totally wrong about seeing Hasselhoff up there.
Is he the only name in it?
Yeah, yeah. They get one name, and that's how they market it. But it was pretty funny.
Good scenery.
What not?
What not?
Yes.
What not?
What not?
What not?
What not?
What?
Man, Dale Jr., mm-hmm. You want to dive into that first?
I'd love to.
That's from yesterday. We mentioned during his press conference when he's leaving DEI that Dale Jr. Broke the all-time whatnot record.
And DEI is his current racing team, right? That's Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. Is that what it is?
That is right.
Okay.
And I did more reading on this, and I guess his evil stepmother,
yes,
he has not gotten along with her for a long time.
Right? Even when Dadu was alive, right?
I believe so. I was reading something today that like he was buddies with Mamo,
yeah,
not with Dadu's new girlfriend.
Kind of ticked off at Dadu for the and apparently the new squeeze got involved in all the business dealings and whatnot.
It's too bad.
Morticia Earnhardt. I don't think her name's Morticia Rob.
I'm pretty sure that's pretty sure it is. I saw her in the producer.
She has some long flowing hair.
Yeah, little black dress.
Ah, lovely.
David Hasselhoff and what was her name? Was it Carolyn Adams?
Carolyn Jones.
Yeah. Carolyn Jones.
Yeah.
Who's Lily? No, I always get it mixed up. Lily Munster was Yvonne DiCarlo.
Yvonne DiCarlo.
And that other chick was
Morticia Adams was
Carolyn Jones.
Right.
Right.
And neither one of them are with us any longer.
Carolyn Jones died a long time ago.
She died a long time ago.
Lily Munster died, like, what, 2 or 3 months ago?
And what about John Astin? Is he with us?
Hot as scary balls.
He's gone, though, too, isn't he?
I think he's alive.
John Astin?
I think so.
Is that Sean Astin's father? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Rudy. The guy from Rudy, right?
Yeah. It always gets back to Rudy with me.
Always.
It always does.
That's when John Astin was bawling Patty Duke.
So Patty Duke is Sean Astin's mother?
Yeah, and she's hot as twin balls.
You think he balled her good?
Oh, I hope he did. In his Gomez suit.
Balling Patty Duke.
Oh, that's still the best. Is that one legal?
You don't know
in this day and age.
No. Of course it is, Mike. It's
you don't know.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, radio's upside down again.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's upside down.
Sure is, Dave.
Man, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our only statement on this. I know, Mike, you're probably with me on this. You feel the same way. If you're on satellite, we're talking about Opie and Anthony.
Right.
If you're on satellite radio and the come on is that you can say anything you want and you're paying for it and it's not on the public airwaves,
mm-hmm,
until it's regulated by our government, which I'm sure it will be someday,
mm-hmm,
hey, it's hands off.
Right.
It's just hands off.
Well, you're talking about a program that went out to people that paid for that show.
Right.
And it doesn't make any sense to, you know, it's as you just said, it's the public airway.
A lot of people are trying to turn Opie and Anthony into this week's Don Imus.
No.
Because they had a homeless guy on their show who said he wanted to rape the queen. You know,
and Condoleezza Rice, and I guess they were doing a, you know, they were, I didn't hear the transcript, so I didn't listen to it.
You know, take it in context. It was a homeless guy,
right,
who was goofing around on their show. They're on satellite radio where you can say any goddamn thing you want.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's this big public uproar that's starting again about this, you know, ooh, shock jockery, not even safe on satellite airwaves.
Right, right. I did not hear a transcript of the tape.
No, I didn't either. But I'm on their side anyway.
Sure. Well, we have to be. I mean, you know, I mean, they're coming for all of us.
I mean,
they're gunning for all of us.
If that last safe haven, satellite radio, that's not really a great safe haven.
That's not going to last.
But if
not.
If that safe haven is not a safe haven anymore. I mean, who's to stop the government from saying, you know, gee whiz, the Sopranos last night had a scene where Dr. Melfi was raped, and really, don't know, there was some elements of humor in it. Take that out of the show.
Satellite radio, you know, drawing the parallels between satellite and cable TV and pay cable, it's identical.
Right.
It's exactly the same thing.
Right.
So you cannot single out radio. I mean, there's content on cable, pay cable, that everybody would be pissed off at.
And then the other bit of news that just gave me the red ass today was that our goddamn PC world we live in now, they're pushing this one through in Hollywood. If there's smoking in a movie, it's going to be rated R. But, of course, there are little asterisks all over this. If it is a movie that is of historical note, then you can have smoking.
Right.
Well, who's to decide what's historical and what's not historical?
Right.
And what's wrong with having somebody smoke in the movies?
Well, and it's also
and
the movies.
Not smoking in the theater. I'm talking about people smoking in the movie that you're watching.
On screen.
On the screen, the actors.
The thing is, people smoke. I mean, people smoke, and it's part of life. And if you're doing a character, and that, I mean, this is, what the hell?
My first thought was, you know, it's called parenting, and you can look, you can read about it on the internet.
Yes.
But, you know, it's teach your kids not to smoke.
It's
That's
ridiculous.
It.
So, yeah.
I mean, but what's strange is all the other crap that goes on that they don't care about.
That gets by.
Which I also think should not be regulated. I should say that.
Right.
But it just seems to me what they pick and what they choose. And really, if you're going to look at it, if you're going to look at the content of radio, and now you're going to single out smoking, and then you look at the violence, really, say, and I don't believe that it is, say that violence did encourage people to do certain things. If you saw something on screen, the level of that is insane. But anybody that is sane can look at that on a screen and go, well, that's not affecting me. I'm not going to go out and duplicate what they do.
That person.
You know, it reminds me of a scene in a, I'm sorry to say that I'm quoting an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Never apologize.
I believe the movie is called The Eighth Day.
Right.
The one where he's got, Mike, the plot is this, he's got the crazy clone that looks just like him. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen that.
He flies in the future, the hovercraft.
The eighth day.
It's about cloning.
Cloning. Yes, cloning in California.
And he lives in a time when for his birthday, his wife takes him out to the garage, and before they have sex, she gives him, the special treat, a Cuban cigar.
Oh, really?
Because not only are
maybe that's when he got the habit.
Because not only are he was playing a guy in a movie.
Oh, okay.
Not only are Cuban cigars illegal now.
Yes.
But in the future, what they're saying is all type of smoking has been banned.
Oh.
So what Arnold is saying in this dumb movie, his character is like, oh my God, you mean we're going to really break the law tonight and smoke a cigar?
Ooh.
You know, hey, we're getting very close to that.
We are. And, you know, I was saying that movies, if you're sane, don't influence you. However, I go way back to when I was a kid, and that movie, The Blues Brothers, came out, and I was in high school. It was one of the most popular movies in high school, and that chase scene in The Blues Brothers, and it was all high school kids that we were on date night, you know, Saturday night, and we came out, and I'll never forget, coming out of the theaters in East Hartford, Connecticut, after that movie was over, it was like a road rally. Everybody, and that was, of course, we were all insane and being
from God
affected, and of course, we were all smoking. Smoking heavily.
Non-stop, like 5 cigarettes at a time.
And it was nighttime. It was dark, and we were wearing sunglasses.
I'm thinking about starting just a protest.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
I know it's bad for me.
Mm-hmm. But now they're going to rate movies based on that.
That's insane.
It's gonna be hard for somebody who wants to go to see a hard R and say, where's the nudity? Somebody smoked in it.
And there's a very ambiguous thread to this entire thing, which is it depends if the smoking is predominant in the movie. It depends if the character is portrayed in a good way or in a bad way.
But historically,
you know, it's okay to show a movie where you split a guy's skull open 18 million ways and fire him up with 8,000 bullets. That gets a PG-13.
Well, I understand Quentin Tarantino's Hostel has now been knocked down to a PG because there's no smoking.
No
in
smoking
there.
In
no,
it.
They, he drills the guy's foot with a power drill, but there's no smoking. Right.
Same as Saw.
not a lot of smoking in Saw.
There's is it Saw 2 there's no smoking in?
I think that most of the Saw trilogy, there's no smoking at all.
All you'd have to do is cut the smoking things out, and you could ship that right out to the kids.
Yeah, I mean, if you take something like take a lit cigarette, and then you take the the disembodied head and put the cigarette in the mouth, then you got an R rating.
But that might give the guy cancer.
Yes, beware.
Beware. Thank you, Rob. Surgeon General. Props, beware.
There he goes.
Well, it was disembodied head.
Mm-hmm. The head like a Futurama.
Yes.
In the heads that were in those cake jars.
Right. Futurama. Cartoon Network.
Adult Swim.
Adult Swim on Cartoon Network.
Hi there, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike, the government is missing the point. The greatest evil there is, they need to ban smoking on the radio.
Well, I'll tell you, you'd have a lot of people breaking the law here. A lot of silence. That's for
nobody
sure.
Nobody smokes here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Exactly. Hi.
Not right here, anyway.
You know what? All this censoring down with the FAA.
Right, dumbass. Thank you. Amen. I get jokes.
Yeah.
I get website jokes.
Do you think I'm making a controversial statement when I say that we're becoming a little misguided in this country?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Mike, how are you?
I think that is a fireable offense, Mike, what you just said.
Had to say it, Don. Had to speak my conviction.
Tone it down, brother.
All right.
Tone it down.
We may be wrong.
I got a great idea for a bit on Tuesday. What do you think of this? In this new environment we're in.
Okay.
I just thought of it. I will call it Two for Tuesday.
Whoa. That's fantastic.
And like your favorite classic rock artist will double track.
Oh, wow.
Now, dig this, Mike. I'm saying it would be more than a feeling.
Yeah.
Into long time.
Right.
But only on Tuesday.
You know what? Do you really want to do that? Because I think that is a fantastic idea. I really do.
I mean,
we can't get this thing to work. I don't know what the deal is.
Maybe I can help.
What is that?
Need a light?
A lighter works like your penis.
There you go.
After 39, your thumb was working on that thing and nothing was happening.
Are you having a flashback right now? Do you remember the old days, like when we first started working together?
What, with you with a cigarette?
Yeah. Oh, remember that tiny little studio? I don't know how you. I say that to people. I don't know how you tolerated it. Because I mean, we really did. We had a tiny studio.
And you take one step closer to performing like Jackie Gleason, and you sit there with a cigarette sneaking.
I mean, this is the way radio used to be done.
What do you mean, with a cigarette? I'll just step outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I was making a statement.
Oh, yes. But yes.
By being in the studio,
be bold and I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Hold on, me too then.
Yeah, let's do.
Oh, this is good news.
Well, this is our way of saying, to hell with it.
You guys, we're going to get in trouble.
Buzz, you want to join in, or does your wife still think you don't smoke?
No.
I think it was his father.
That ship has sailed. That was everyone. You kind of hit it for a while.
You're not hiding it anymore.
Tried to lie to the world.
Join us, Buzz.
Yeah, well,
what are you going to do, Buzz?
Let's listen to Buzz light up.
Is it tobacco?
Buzz. Hey, Johnny.
John?
Let me get my cigar going. Want to smoke?
Sure.
Come on in the studio. Smoke.
You like this? This is nice, isn't it?
Like the old days.
You like my cigar?
That's good.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. And they're mild.
Yes, sir. He's packing them.
This show is rated R.
We have an R rating right now.
Show is rated R for rape.
An R rating. Wow.
That was a shout out to O&A. Don't let the bastards get you down, buddy.
Yeah, really. And if you're feeling the heat, you guys are used to it. I know that. But really, don't let them get you down.
Light up.
It's good to know CBS is behind you, though. Yeah, CBS made a statement about Opie and Anthony.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think they did. I thought it was only XM that made the statement.
No, CBS made a statement.
What was their statement?
Wasn't on our airwaves.
That's what they said.
That's what the CBS statement was.
The important thing.
There you go.
How's that, John?
Lovely.
Hey, Joe.
The best part is Rob's back there doing my job for me at the moment.
All right. Hey, Joe?
You can take a break.
Joe back there?
What does Rob know about being a producer?
Hey, Joe. Come on in, Joe.
Come on. We're being radical.
That's right.
We're garnering an R rating right now.
The show's getting an R rating.
We're rebels. We're punks.
There you go. This is like the most on-audio bit that
I
could possibly do on the radio.
I know it is.
And to call it a bit is a disservice to anything Jack Diamond has ever done on his show.
Not a bit. It's not a bit at all. It's one of my great ideas that I come up with occasionally where there's no sound involved in it. It's shit.
It's a silent protest, Mike.
It is.
The sound comes later when Rob has an asthma attack.
That's why you are an actor.
An actor. This
a performer.
Is I'm trying to convey the relaxation that is smoking right now to the listening audience.
Hold them like this.
Like the Germans. We're all going to start with the Germans. We're all the German way now. Like the Germans was.
We have ways.
Now we have ways of making you talk.
We are really smoking now.
Sign the papers, old man. Sign the papers.
All right, I'm putting it out.
No, you don't have to. Get out of here, everybody. Go do your job.
Aw.
Damn. Smoke break over. Very good.
There you go. Boy, look at Joe exhale.
Yeah, Joe's the...
That's red. A man that they get to coming out of both nostrils and his mouth.
He's a red man.
It really stinks in here now.
Marble red.
Mmm.
Engineers are going, don't hurt me.
Smells good in here.
Mm-hmm.
Smells like sex in here.
Sure does.
Only.
Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Yeah, Mike, after I like smoking a big cigar, I like thinking about you in a little dark room, boy, and I'm going to tear your ass up.
Mm. Oh, it's your guy
again,
That's the Mike.
Guy. He's been on hiatus. Hope you enjoyed your spring vacation.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
And Mike, we're all here.
I'm sorry, you're right, Don, Mike, Buzz. This is only the second time I've called.
Thank you. It's an ensemble cast.
And I love you guys dearly. I'm
having a little trouble understanding you. We might need a little translation. Okay. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted. Go ahead.
That's okay. I'm just calling to say that I'm driving around listening to the conversation about the R rating and envisioning the movie Beetlejuice when the woman is smoking through her throat and how that would get an R rating and just how stupid society can be.
That's a different one you're doing.
Amen to that.
Yeah, I didn't know I had it.
What other movies do you think, like Beetlejuice, would be in that category?
Hello?
Honey?
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
What other movies besides Beetlejuice do you think would be in that category?
I don't know, just all of them. It's just absolutely ridiculous. But if you remember the scene where the woman is smoking a cigarette, the smoke is coming out through her throat,
and Beetlejuice,
and that would get an R rating.
That's true.
Well said. Well said. Thank you, my love.
See ya.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Reject a woman, and she will never let it go. One of the many defects of their kind. Also, weak arms.
Also, we've gone. Howdy, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, I'm joining your protest. I'm lighting up a cigar.
We're done now. That's wonderful.
Buzz, you're always first off the protest walk.
That's true.
The rest of us are still smoking.
Okay. I just put mine out.
Oh, but it's a cigarette, Mike. It's not like a cigar.
Yes, I finished it.
You can go through a whole pack of those.
Yes, of course. Absolutely. There it is. Light up consecutively. Light up.
Have another, Mike.
You know, we're just not free. We're just not free.
That's
and
right.
We're losing our freedom every single day.
What not?
Do what Buzz does. Use the end of one cigarette to light the next.
Yes, chaining.
Exactly.
Chain smoking.
Pulling a chain.
Do you remember the old days you'd walk into some room in a radio station? There'd be like a community ashtray.
Mm-hmm.
100 times worse than that thing we've got out front of our building.
Absolutely disgusting.
Where there would just be and after a while, people would turn it into an art form, trying to pile up all of the cigarette butts on top of one another.
And the dust in a studio would be so much more significant because of that. It was amazing.
The good old days. That's when you could drink.
Mm-hmm.
DJs that smoked.
Right.
DJs that drank during their show.
And, you know, people were still dying. I mean, people were still dying.
Sure. Nothing changed.
And the last time I checked, people still die.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way it goes.
This show is rated R.
Yeah, now see, we're being real controversial right now with our R rating.
Jesus Christ, what is wrong with people?
Next thing you know, we're going to have some blood and guts in here and a nude scene.
Well, we're going to have to cleanse our palate, Mike, with the good taste of Dale Jr.
Ah, fantastic.
Are you ready for every single whatnot?
Now, did we keep the sentences intact so we were able to hear Dale speak a little bit?
I've got the entire press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've got the whatnots in context.
Mm-hmm.
And then isolated whatnots, short whatnots, and long whatnots.
Very good.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Well, we would like to, we'll keep the instances and circumstances throughout the contract and the negotiations and what was proposed and whatnot. And I'm going to miss a lot of the relationships and working relationships within the shop itself and the individuals that work there. They have my full support mentally and whatnot. But this decision is made today based solely on...
This is not one of our edit jobs.
No.
This is not one of our fake jobs like our Katie Couric tapes.
We're just basically stringing the sentences together that he used whatnot in.
No, this is not where we're stringing...
This is raw?
This is just him talking. This is not them strung together.
Oh, fantastic.
He's off and running.
This is just the beginning of the press conference.
Yeah.
Oops. My driving career, not my, not my personal interest in my involvement with DEI and whatnot. My mom's sitting here. I don't feel comfortable telling y'all this in front of her, but there'll be a day when I have to take care of her, financially and whatnot, for her to be able to live and have the life she wants. You know, I've got to put myself in the position to take care of the things that are going to need to be taken care of.
I'm waiting for the next one, isn't it?
At that age and whatnot. It's unconventional to be able to be making these sort of changes and announcements and whatnot in the middle of the season.
Wow.
But
I mean, I got to stop it there.
This is precious.
That's just the beginning part.
Wow.
Here's some more whatnots in context. Dale Jr.
Well, we would like to, we'll keep the instances and circumstances throughout the contract and the negotiations and what was proposed and whatnot.
Here's another one.
I'm going to miss a lot of the relationships and working relationships within the shop itself and the individuals that work there. They have my full support mentally and whatnot, but
mentally and whatnot.
Whatnot.
We haven't started working in that direction as far as who we'd like to drive for and whatnot.
The stress. I think it's the stress.
It is.
I would like to kind of know what kind of cars we're preparing here. I know Martin's drove them and Robbie Gordon drove them, and they ran well and enjoyed the cars and enjoyed the employees and the guys at the track and whatnot.
Uh-huh. Look at him go.
You know, like I said, I support those guys however they need it. And even though they might, one or two or maybe more, a handful might be pretty mad at me right now, I still support them in whatever they do, and I'm going to give them as much as I can give them the rest of the year as far as my effort and whatnot.
You know it's coming. You know when it's coming.
Because just like the advice that I seek.
It never stopped. It. No. Really, he was on TV for an hour.
Uh-huh.
And 27 times he did it.
Whoa.
Because just like the advice that I seek from a driver or whatnot, it only helps you understand the situation. It only helps you understand. It helps you make that decision a whole lot easier. Support and resources and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
That was a double whatnot.
Yeah, two and one.
Let's hear that one again.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That was a double whatnot, kids.
Mm-hmm. Because just like the advice that I seek from a driver or whatnot, it only helps you understand the situation. It only helps you understand. It helps you make that decision a whole lot easier. Support and resources and whatnot. So
most men are not capable of multiple whatnots.
Now, multiple whatnots, just terrific job.
Rare.
And as we have to move through the discussions with sponsors.
Oh, his sister.
Employees and whatnot. You can only tell so many people before the world knows.
Mom.
We got a break. There's too many of them.
I like the way she said knows.
There are too many.
Knows becomes neos.
Whatnot.
Too many of them.
Wow.
Whatnot.
This is great.
This has got 27.
Whatnot, 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 whatnot,
whatnot,
whatnot.
Well, all right, these are
that's all of them together.
A bunch of them together, I believe, right? John, is this all of them?
Yeah, that one's just like the whatnot alarm.
The last one?
All of them put together.
Okay, here we go. Our tribute. to Dale Jr.
What not?
There you go.
And those are all in order, right? Those are all different ones in order?
That's it.
Very nice.
Every single one.
I hope this is like Scared Straight. I hope this teaches people to really hear how moronic it sounds.
What not?
It sounds moronic and what not.
It's fantastic.
And what
damn.
I love that we have seized on this.
Well, we would like to, we'll keep the instances and circumstances throughout the contract and the negotiations and what was proposed and whatnot. And
it's the way to end the list. If you have a list of things, the
when you're
item,
out of things specifically
right
to say, that's
and whatnot.
Easy. Right.
That's your end.
I'm going to miss the drivers and the help and the camaraderie and whatnot. And what is it really? What is whatnot? It's nothing.
Yeah.
It is the moron's segue. That's what it is. And I'm not talking about those fantastic high-speed scooters.
Oh, they rent those in Florida now. I love them. I almost did it. Almost pulled the trigger on it. But I didn't want to because, you know, it was crowded and whatnot. And I just didn't want to run anybody over. And I saw people, you can do different things on them.
Yeah, like what?
Whatnot.
You know, Mike?
Yes.
No, hold on. I was going to get to an American Chopper thing, too. And you know, once we heard the tape of Dale Jr., we really realized that whatnot is a pretty stupid word.
Now, an American Chopper, they will occasionally throw that in there.
Yeah,
not a regular basis, but, I mean, they'll do it occasionally.
They're guilty of the whatnot, mm-hmm, but not like Dale Jr.
Nobody.
It's a beautiful thing. He's my hero. He's my new driver now.
Yeah, you have to go with
Forget
him.
Forget Tony Stewart.
They should put it on the car somewhere. It should be Budweiser and whatnot.
This decision is made today based solely on my driving career, not my personal interest in my involvement with DEI and whatnot.
Obviously a difficult task for him to express himself and tell the story about why he was leaving DEI.
Dale, just leave. Turn left.
Whatnot.
Make another left turn.
Whatnot.
Another left turn.
Whatnot.
Another left turn.
Whatnot.
And go to the pits.
Whatnot.
Another left turn.
Whatnot.
27. And I love the sister's in there, too. That's fantastic because she uses it, too. And she didn't speak for nearly the amount of time that Dale did.
And as we have to move through the discussions with sponsors, employees, and whatnot, you know, it
you know, forget all this talk about all the standards that they're imposing on us. Maybe we can look at what's really important right now.
Right.
Not what's said on the radio as far as violence or sex or bad language.
Or smoking.
Yes. Let's think about ridding our society of the dreaded word whatnot.
There's a goal. That's a quest. Mm-hmm. That is a quest indeed.
And that's why we're doing this special Idol Gives Back show.
And I'd like to really get involved in racing. I think you and I have always been intrigued by it, but we should really have a whatnot team. The whatnot car.
Team whatnot.
Team whatnot. Whatnot racing. I can see the little suits they wear. Be fantastic.
And whatnot.
You know, again, I don't want to talk about the technical part of the contract and
okay,
what was
don't.
You know, what each side had proposed and whatnot, but
how many sentences do we have? Do we have all 27 sentences?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Gotta do this and whatnot.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Pros. Smart. Cool. Good looking. Remind you of anybody you know? Cons. Not a hard worker. I can spend all day on a project and he will finish the same project in a half an hour. So that should tell you something.
The Don and Mike Show. Caution. Retards in area. The Don and Mike Show.
Friendly
retards.
Oh, good.
Oh,
no.
Oh, yeah.
It's a funny show we got going.
The show's going to be funny.
right. Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi there.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
And once again, I love that one. A Mother's Day message from Miss Carrie Spiewak.
It was really hard because he would tell me he was sorry. He would do something like push me or throw me against the wall, but then he would cry and say, I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't mean to. I just lost my temper. I love you.
I love you, honey.
Signed, your loving husband, Rob.
This Mother's Day, Rob, don't you think you could make a change?
Shut up, Mike.
I love Don and Mike's show.
It's the angriest he's ever gotten at me.
Hello, you're taking away.
I got into his house there.
That's right. You're taking away his joy.
His joy.
He licked you. He sassed you.
He sassed me.
He said shut up to you.
But you see, that sassing just tells me that I went too far.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
A little bit too far.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Is it me?
Yes, it's you.
Oh. Can't say is it me. I'm sorry. Disqualification. That's right. Disqualification, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I just want to say you guys are such dicks. And I wanted to tell you that I bathroomed in my jar today.
All right. See you, dick.
The judges will accept that answer.
Absolutely. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
This is Joe. Joe?
Oh.
Hi, Joe.
No, this is not Joe. Guess who it is?
It's probably Joe.
No, it is not Joe.
Guess who it is?
I don't know.
Well, if you, what do you think? Who are you calling?
I'm calling Don and Mike.
Right, and it's not Joe. Who do you think it is?
And you're talking to two guys instead of one.
Well, that's good to hear.
So now why don't you guess?
Pardon me?
Who do you think you're talking to?
Joe.
And why did you say, pardon me, when you heard us? Perfectly clearly.
I'm sorry, we're working you. What would you like to talk to Don and Mike about?
Well, I don't need to talk to them, but I thought, and in addition to their whatnot, they could add two others to form a trifecta.
No.
How about first we work on you?
No, and your idea has already been rejected.
The word for you is also a two-syllable word. It's not whatnot. The word is dumbass.
Really?
Really? I like that indigenous tone. That indigenous tone. What, really? Yeah. Well, hello?
Indignant tone, indigenous to Sacramento.
Thank you, Mike.
Right.
Yes, Mr. Dumas, my name is Don. This is my best buddy, Mike.
Hello.
We do the show that you're listening to. You've been on the air for almost 2 minutes, and you still don't realize it's us. Hence, you are a dumbass.
For today, you shall be known as Claude Dumas. The famous French philanderer.
And you should write in indelible ink on your forehead backwards, whatnot.
I think that hurt his feelings. Yes, Claude Dumas worked his way through the French countryside, fathering many children out of wedlock.
I love that when we get attitude from someone.
Yeah.
Like we did something wrong.
Really? He was shocked.
Me? Who is this?
You know, eight times. Joe?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's happening?
I love you guys. You guys have been an inspiration in my life for the longest time, and I just want to say, man, you guys still owe me $100.
Boy, you really buttered us up there, didn't you?
Can't get blood out of a stone. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, what's going on?
Hello, we're all here, my friend.
How you doing? Hey, buddy, do you have a boat?
Buddy, I don't have a boat.
When you tie your boat to the dock, do you use a seam to figure out what knot you use?
Oh, God. I'm sorry I'm laughing at that.
We're going to give this guy a pass.
So that is a pass. You don't like him, Rob.
I tried so hard to beat him to it.
That's why, guys. You rock. Tony Coyne's a fag.
Tony who?
Did you say Tony Corn? Like Kornheiser?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, straight?
Shh. That's not supposed to get out. Tony Cornholer.
Hello.
DK. Different guy.
I guess, you know, as I watch him, and I'm a fan of Tony Kornheiser,
right.
I find it hard to believe that there's a man or a woman that could possibly get to bed with him and caress that orange head and want him to climb on top of you.
To the best of my knowledge, he is he's a daddy. I believe he's a happily married man with children.
Yeah, right. No, he talks about his kids all the time.
Yeah,
on TV.
And you're right, though.
Eee.
Sexy with Wilbon, but have you ever seen him on Night Call?
Tony Kornheiser on.
You know, there's a reason that PTI is not in high def.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, listen, when Mike and Mike in the Morning is in high def, and Tony Kornheiser and Mike Wilborn are not.
Right.
The only reason is Kornheiser's age spots.
Wow. Kornheiser is something special. He really is. That hair. Is he still combing it over?
Yeah.
What the hell's he doing? Why doesn't he just shave it? No, I mean, just shave. He what?
He's tricking you.
He's tricking me?
He's thinking he has hair.
He's a conjurer.
Work.
Tony Kornholer. Hello, Don on my show.
Radio gods. I'm calling from Spokane, Washington. I wanted to file this under the bad radio ideas. I don't know if you know, but in this town we have a radio station that does their shows live from the radio cafe, where they have the DJs in a booth in a window. So like the morning DJs when you're listening to their morning crazy.
Now hold on, let me just get this straight.
Yeah.
Is it a theater of the mind thing?
Yeah, really.
Where they're playing sound effects, or are they really in a cafe somewhere?
They're really in the cafe. You can walk by downtown. Actually, the cafe is right downtown. So they're like in a window booth thing from the outside or from the inside of the restaurant. You're looking right at them. So when you walk by downtown, it's almost like watching Rob Petrie in the department store window or whatever.
Right, Dick Van Dyke. And the point of this fantastic story is?
Oh, I just wondered if you'd ever heard of a stupid radio station doing that.
Oh, I think they're all over the country. Yeah. They've done that in different spots.
Are they really?
I heard of a couple of stupid guys who wasted a couple minutes on their show, though, talking about it.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sorry.
Thank you for calling, Pierre. Your brother Claude is out in the French countryside. That's Pierre Dumas.
Not on Mike's show.
Hey, Nappy Hoes, how you guys doing?
What?
Nappy Hoes, you know, Imus. Anyway, wanted to ask you guys
Hey, Francois. You missed the call from Pierre and his brother, Claude.
Oh, and, you know, Nappy made me think the other night during American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone catch when Kiki was, they were showing pictures of Lakeisha?
Was it Kiki?
Yes, it was Lakeisha.
Yeah.
You know,
yep,
I thought right away.
And she said it twice, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I did that.
I did a bad thing.
But talking about herself, she gets the free pass.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe for her and not for us. Hello, Donna Mike Show. And whatever you do, don't smoke in the movie.
Don, guess what?
I mean, on the screen. What?
When you're watching Spider-Man, they have that Kingpin, or when you used to read it, and Kingpin used to smoke a cigarette. Now you get extra money if you got any comic paraphernalia with him having a cigarette. They got rid of it because smoking and stuff.
All right.
Thank you.
I don't need to call him Marcel.
No, let me explain. He was actually making a salient point here that in the comic, the bad guy Kingpin in Spider-Man,
right,
he used to smoke cigarettes all the time, and they phased the cigarette out of the comic.
So for collectors, those old issues are more valuable because of the cigarette.
And if we had a flashback to the early storylines of the comic, you would have to have him smoke.
Yes.
And because that's historical, it wouldn't get an R rating.
Well, it's not real history, though. Oh, so then it would get an R rating.
I believe when I was listening to this mumbo jumbo back and forth, the one that they all love throwing out is Saving Private Ryan,
mm-hmm,
saying that that's the standard, that if the movie is historic and if it means something, well, then bad words are okay.
You know what's funny, though?
I mean, to get off the smoking thing and get back onto language.
You know, they paint themselves back into a box if it's historical, because, I mean, who is to judge what is historical? I mean, as early as the mid-1980s, people were smoking in public a lot more than they are today.
They gave as an example a movie that would pass today is the George Clooney movie.
Right, Good Night, mm-hmm, and Good Luck.
Yeah, with Edward R. Murrow.
Right. Because they were all smoking.
Because that's heavily historic.
Yeah,
now,
right.
You couldn't do a comedy set at the same time with the same characters, with all of them smoking, now if this goes through, and that movie, without that movie getting an R rating.
It's amazing. That's stupid.
Now, another thing that they said is that it had to glamorize smoking. So what if it was an evil guy that was smoked? I mean, conceivably, Kingpin is a bad guy, right?
That was one of the arguments, is that if you could associate smoking with a bad character, it was okay. Now, whether that's changed under this new
rule. Does everyone hear how we're talking about it?
Oh, I know. It's insane.
It's amazing. It's so amazing.
It's retarded.
Yeah. It's so stupid.
What not?
And it is so completely un-American. I mean, it really is. I mean, we don't say that very often.
Arbitrary.
God, what's happening here?
It's just weird. It's a we've got so much real crap going on.
Real problems.
And we're having, I mean, this isn't people. These are government agencies that are doing these. Wow. These are organized committees and people that are getting together.
We are living in times where we love to be diverted. It's
really amazing. It's almost like somebody, I almost get suspicious, and here's another conspiracy theory, that somebody's throwing this stuff out there so we will keep our minds off the real fact at hand.
I think it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy almost, one of those things where if you keep saying that it's happening for them, eventually it's just happening. No one's doing it on purpose. We're paranoid about this happening, and it's happening.
Right. You know what's relevant? I heard on the news.
And we've said it's going to be happening, and we said we can't believe it would get to this.
Right.
And now it's getting to this, and we thought it would get to this, but we didn't really think it would get to this.
You know what's relevant? I heard on the news today that the Iraqi government, the government that we're counting on over there to fix everything so we can leave.
How are they doing?
They're taking they want to take a 2-month vacation.
Right.
2 months.
That's right.
They want to take a 2-month vacation. I heard that, and my brain almost exploded. I'm sitting there going, everything's fine. Go ahead. Take a break.
When those congressmen were putting the squeeze on Bush this week, he said one of the things Cheney would do on his trip over there is try to talk him out of going on vacation.
The only way you get all that vacation time is to have our agent.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the only way.
I know.
Otherwise, forget about it.
I just heard that, and I was like, whoa,
boy.
That's a long time there, boy.
Hey, vacation there, boy. Oh, wow.
They might be using our agent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy.
Hey, cool.
If they used our agent, we would have lost this thing a long time ago.
Absolutely.
You'd be living in the United States of Iraq right now if our agent was in charge of this thing.
We'd be speaking a different language.
Are you kidding me? Of course, my guy would have our golden parachutes. We'd be living in Guatemala or something.
We'd be in a safe zone. We'd be in the green zone.
Mr. President Joe Coyne is on the phone.
That's our other guy.
God, if our agents ran the world. Can you imagine that? China's on the phone. They've got some nukes. I'm in Boca right now.
Listen, stay cool. I'll get right on it. All right, today is Friday. Can I get back to you next Thursday?
Hey, Don, listen. Kim Jong-il keeps calling. I gotta see my son this weekend. Can I call you Monday?
Stay cool.
Now, I will have my pager.
That's another thing about our agents. Goddamn, who still says get me on my pager?
Right.
Who still says you need me, page me?
Listen, I know a lot's going on. I'm planting tomatoes this weekend. Call me on my pager. I'll be planting tomatoes with the kids. Stay cool.
Our agent walking around with khaki shorts, knee socks,
black,
hard shoes.
Yeah, if you want to know what our agent, if you want to know, a medical picture.
Stay cool.
Big safari hat.
You just picture, the character in The Godfather, Meyer Lansky's character in The Godfather. that's what he lives in, the same kind of house down there.
And I also picture him wearing, I guess, like a beekeeper's hat.
Yeah.
One of those big, gigantic, almost outbreak type hats.
And eating tuna sandwiches. All the time. Eating tuna sandwiches out on the screen porch with the TV on.
Tuna sandwiches that have the crust cut off.
Crust cut off.
And have little toothpicks in each of like the four squares.
And a glass of milk with chips.
And he's watching Judge Judy.
Yeah, and laughing at it. Like it's the best comedy he's ever heard.
Hi. No problem.
Secretary of State Donald Ephraim.
Donald Ephraim. Yeah, and he gave it to his son. We don't talk to him anymore.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show. We're happy about that.
Yes.
Hello.
Hey, Clinton dropped the ball too. He was out golfing when he was supposed to be getting Osama bin Laden. So,
dude, what does that have to do with anything?
What is that? Who's pointing the finger at like a president here? What did you hear that made you overreact?
you guys. I figured that I'd throw a little vacation thing for you. Clinton dropped the ball out there.
I got news for you, pal. You're off the air. The next time you call with something like that,
try not to make it sound like this. We call Clinton, duck, balls, duck, balls, what not?
Try very hard to just speak into the phone.
Not that people are sensitive. I believe I was talking about the government of another country.
That's true. Iraq.
Jesus.
America's playland. Iraq.
Or are they the government of another country?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Stay away from that, guys.
Hey, what about a Disney movie like 101 Dalmatians?
When all those little puppy dogs are smoking?
Are smoking, right. That's right.
Oh, no, no, the lady that wins the coat. She
right.
Wins that.
Oh, no, yeah.
The lady.
Perella DeVille. Perella DeVille, right, yeah.
She's got the cigarette lighter.
Right.
I mean, the holder, cigarette holder.
Give that baby an R rating. Actually, I did see the porno version of that. And you know, a lot of times they change the title.
Yeah,
they didn't have to change it. No. It was still 101 Dalmatians. Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, this is Peter Rosenberg. Just want you to know that a DJ can make a very good living broadcasting from restaurants and cafes.
That's a good point.
That's good. Thank you, my friend. Hello, Dynamite Show. What's up?
Hey, Joe. Hey, listen, I just got off work. I don't know. Have you already talked about you got pulled out of the air yesterday, like around 6 or so?
Yes. Hello.
Where do we start?
Hello. Have you been listening? Have you been listening to the show much today?
Yes, a little bit.
Hey, did you hear that stupid guy that called a couple of seconds ago and didn't know that he was talking to the guys on the air?
No, I did not.
From this point forward, you will have the name of Marcel. You are Marcel Dumas.
Do you remember his brother's names?
Francois and
Pierre.
Claude.
Was there Pierre?
There was Pierre.
Yes.
We now have the entire foursome of brothers. We have Pierre, Francois, Claude, and now Marcel.
I love you so much.
Why are our listeners so uniformly stupid?
Why does everyone that calls today think that we're either you or I or Joe? What's going on?
You know, we take about 70%.
Yeah, I tell you what, because you sound retarded, but I love you guys. I love you.
We take about 70% unscreened calls.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's here mainly for doing a contest or if we're on a serious topic or something. So get used to the fact if you call, like right now,
you might be right on.
Here's an unscreened call. Let's see how this person reacts. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Smoking in Pinocchio.
Did you hear that? There was smoking in Pinocchio.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Do you remember the name of Popeye's friend who ate all the hamburgers?
Wimpy.
Wimpy, yeah.
That ruins my joke. Who's Bluto then?
That's Bluto was the big guy that beat Popeye up occasionally, the bully.
Oh, okay.
Well, what's your point?
What was your joke? What's the point of the call?
I was just going to say Bluto, funny, and then hang up.
Wait a minute. Wait. Now stop. Now stop for a second. Do not run. Do not run away. Okay.
Don't go. Okay. Away. It was. Do you remember the Juno guy? That was it. That was my whole joke.
He was doing a Bluto for you know.
Thank you, buddy. No.
That's what he had hoped to
do. Oh my God.
Well, I've run out of men's French names, so you will.
Michelle.
You will be Monique.
Okay.
Jacques.
That's it. Jacques Dumas.
Jacques Francois, Claude Pierre, and Claude Dumas. Did I say Claude twice?
Don and Mike. Maybe there's a Claude Jr.
Got to start writing them down.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. Speaking of film revisionism, in the original print of Blazing Saddles, there's a scene where Harvey Korman's signing up bad guys, and he's asking them their qualifications, and one guy says, rape, murder, arson, robbery, rape. To which Harvey Korman says, hey, you said rape twice. And the bad guy says, I like rape.
Huh?
Now, when you rent that video today, that scene's edited out.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
I guess it depends on the version, but Rob says no.
I just bought the new copy of it last year. It's in there.
Is it not possible, though, that there is a PZ version of that?
Mm-hmm.
John, is that true?
Walmart loves to edit their stuff. It's entirely possible he got one of those copies.
Yeah, from Walmart.
That's yours for Walmart.
Walmart, headed up by Guy Dumas.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey guys, there was smoking in the Saw. I think the third one, the police guy. He started smoking in the office. He was smoking everywhere. He goes,
what movie is this guy talking about?
I'm not sure. He was mumbling. I didn't hear him.
Did he say the fog?
Saw 3.
The
in
what?
Hold it. Slow down.
Oh,
what?
In Saw.
In Saw 3.
Saw 3.
The officer who played the guy gets trapped in that guy's mind game.
Not guy. The guy.
Then as I said, if you just cut that scene out of the movie, you'd have yourself a nice PG-13.
I've still got that Guy name hanging out there, so I'm not going to give it to anybody just yet. Maybe now.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. What's up? Hi there.
Yes, it's you. Go ahead.
This is Joe Artinger. What's happening?
Jean-Paul?
Jean-Luc.
Oh, fat.
This guy doesn't know that he's that we picked up the phone?
That he's called. He doesn't know he's called anyone. Let's eavesdrop. Is that legal?
Yes. He called us.
Oh, man.
There it is in choice. What do you mean? He's just have it, does he have it sitting down next to him? Accidentally pushed
the button. Maybe, yeah, maybe he accidentally, like, his ass cheek rolled on send.
Before he set it down?
I breathe. Hold it. Slow down. What?
It's all off.
So, it's all three. The officer who...
right now he's turned his radio up.
And that guy's a mind game. The guy.
You got to come up with the ultimate French name for this guy, Mike.
I got one.
You got one? I still got that E.
Hello?
Here, so I'm not going to give it to anybody just yet.
Hello?
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 Hi there.
Jesus Christ.
This is Joe Artinger. What's happening?
This is this guy's call now. He's finally worked his way up to the call with him.
I think you'll figure it out.
Hello.
Oh, look who's joining.
Yeah, and now you pick up the phone. What the hell are you doing?
Oh, man, I was writing some stuff out, man.
You are Henri Dumas.
Hey, just
how are you, Henri?
Henri.
Henri Dumas.
I'm doing okay, man.
I skipped Guy for you.
Guy will still be out there and buzzes Jean-Claude.
I have a question for you guys.
Yes, no. Henri.
No.
No, you don't get to. Right?
No.
Remember Stephanie... You remember the song called...
No.
Do you remember the song called, "You were on the radio for 2 minutes with your radio turned up all the way, you goddamn dumbass"?
Have a great weekend in the French countryside, Henri.
What not? It's pronounced Dumas.
I would like to make a movie where I do nothing but burn his arms with cigarettes.
Yeah, that'll be an R-rated movie.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Fine with me, Mike.
Bonjour.
I'd be PG-13 if he doesn't inhale. We got a break.
You know who smokes like a chimney?
Who's that?
Our next guest.
Ooh, exciting.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, shit, will you knock it off? Hey, knock it off, would ya? Hey, that lady, what you eat? I got company.
Doing my lawn. Look, we're trying to have a nice family gathering, all right?
I'm trying to get my yard clean, that's all.
You're messing up my yard.
Let me ask you, the whole world's going to stop because you got a family
together?
I'm trying to do my lawn over here.
Hey, just stay out of this. It's between us, okay?
Here, take some of this back because I don't want it.
Hey, knock it off.
No, for you.
You're nuts. Guys.
How do you like that? Get your
hands on this back.
Here, you get the whole thing.
We'll settle this later, okay?
Yeah.
You know where to find me.
Yeah, exactly.
I got this for you, too.
There,
get out of here.
Oh, come on.
What are you looking at?
Daddy hit me. Hit me with the ball.
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi there.
What? Stop that. It's silly. Very silly indeed.
You boys make me sick.
I just want to lie on the beach and eat hot dogs.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
You know.
Consummate, unprofessional, Don and Mike.
Hey, let's check in with our friend JB, James Brown from CBS.
Hi, James.
Hey, JB.
Hey, hold on 1 second, fellas. Hold on. Let me put the cigarette down. Hold on 1 second. So I'm traveling all of last week and whatnot. And that was, you know.
Whatnot.
JB, do you hate the word whatnot?
Oh, my gosh. First of all, what I love are you guys. It is so good to connect with you guys again. Look, I knew I was dealing with royalty here on the East Coast. I had no idea you guys are so popular nationwide. I'm at the boxing match in Vegas, walking through the crowded MGM hotel. If I get one guy, I get 10 guys. When are you going to be on Don and Mike again? My gosh, are these guys paying you off or what?
JB, everybody loves you on the show, and we love JB. I'm glad you had a minute in your schedule before I ask you my 8 million football questions. A couple of personal notes. First, you're going to be in Ocean City. Are you going to be in Ocean City next weekend?
That's right. Your territory. Hey, you know what? I am. I'm looking forward to it. Every year, you know, they have, well, you know it better than me, being up there as often as you are, the car cruise.
Cruising weekend, right?
I'm looking forward. This will be my first. I haven't had a break in quite a while. I've gone nonstop. It's all good. No complaining. But I'm looking forward to just smelling some gas.
Yeah, and that's your thing, right? You are all about that.
Absolutely. And, you know, as I'm sure you know, the folks up there in the police department, well, there is a Detective Brett Case who we've become very good friends with. As a matter of fact, he solved one of the gruesome cases up there that I'm sure you guys know about. But anyway, he's a good buddy, and we're going to sit down and talk with him to make certain that everybody acts like mature adults when we get up there. But I'm looking forward to getting back up to OC. It ought to be good.
Okay, so is it the Black Cherry? Is that what you're bringing up there, right?
Black Cherry will be left here because she's got a little bit of work to have done. I'm going to take a car that is painted Black Cherry. I haven't really named that one, though.
All right.
Mike, I was fishing there. Now here's where I'm going with that. JB knows I love Ocean City.
Right.
I got a place to go there all the time.
Sure.
I throw it out there. So you're going to be there next weekend. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be there. And now here's the plug for what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not even like a fake, hey, we should get together. which brings me to my real point.
Okay.
I actually had a guy ask me, how come you guys, meaning Mike and I, have never been invited to the JB Awards?
Right.
You know what? That's a good question. That's a very good question.
And the only answer that I could come up with is that you really don't like us.
Hey, ask Rob how much I missed you. Elizabeth called him at home when I was asking, hey, how are Don and Mike doing? But, you know, let me be honest with you. First of all, that's a great question, and we will never fail to not do that again. I am really so low-key on these things. It's really humbling, Don and Mike, first of all, to be doing what we have been doing the past 4 years with the NFLPA, and it's pretty much their deal, although the JB Awards is a significant part of it. And I'm so low-key, usually my wife and Elizabeth are the ones, Dorothy and Elizabeth are the ones who have to tell everybody about this, but I'm glad you mentioned it. Next year, you guys have it front and center. Consider it done.
Yeah, because I was...
You should be aware of the fact that if we do attend, whenever we go to anything that is even semi-formal...
Okay.
Don and I both wear very special tuxedos. Don's in raspberry and mine in powder blue.
I like Dumb and Dumber.
Yes, Dumb
you know
and Dumber.
What? You guys will be the hippest looking dudes there if that's the case. Sure.
Because I'll tell you when I felt that very first sting of jealousy was before anybody even asked me. I was watching PTI one day, and Michael Wilbon was all dressed up, and Kornheiser says, "Where are you going?" He says, "Oh, I'm going to the JB Awards tonight in D.C. Then I turn on the news, and it's like, here's local boy, come home, made good. Here's James Brown. And look at this. He's got Tony Dungy. And here's John Lynch. And there's Mike Wilbon. You know, and I'm sitting in front of my TV in my underpants going, you know, listen, I know this is not about friendship. I've got a checkbook.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's all for a good cause.
Check this out. Hey, Elizabeth, Don and Mike want to be the first to get invitations next year to the affair.
That
is fantastic. I've never met her and talked to her. I love her now, though.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Good luck with that. That's funny. Thalia would work on your show well. There's no ask Rob.
Good
about
luck
it.
With that.
So you guys are there.
Oh,
there.
That's too good.
JB, when are you hosting the CBS morning show again?
It's interesting you ask about that. Boy, you know what? You guys ask some good questions. I'm probably dancing because I'm too dark to blush, as I always say. Actually, they've been chatting with me about it. We're trying to see if there is a good fit in terms of the schedule. And I'm one of a couple people that they're looking at. Look, I started this only to help out in a pinch-hitting fashion. It's gone well. I'm really happy about it. And if we can work the schedule out, then maybe, you know, there's something we might be able to do. So we'll find out in the next 30 days.
Now, I know Don's got a lot of football questions. Can I just ask you one boxing question?
Hey, look
question?
Here. I just hope that I can get the football questions. I've been so far removed. But talk to me about, hey, speaking of boxing, your boy Howie Long calls me up the night he sees me hosting the fight with Lennox Lewis and Max Kellerman. And the first question he has, he's still on my weight. And you know I'm trying. He says, JB, how much did you have to let out that tuxedo to fit? Or is it a case of a good girdle working for yourself? The next time you guys get Howie on the show, please bust his chops for me.
You know, you do that too. You do so many different things. But, you know, obviously this fight, and I bought the fight. I think, Don, you bought the fight too, didn't you, on pay-per-view. Did you buy the Floyd Mayweather fight last week? Did
negative.
You I bought it. And, you know, they were building this thing up as the boxing match to save boxing.
Please.
And I really, you know, I was disappointed in the fight, and I think a lot of other people were disappointed, and I wanted to get your feelings on the fight itself. I mean, it just seems to me, you know, when two guys are fighting, they go all out, and it was more of a, you know, how many punches landed. I know that's part of the game, but it was frustrating for me because I think, all in all, it wasn't that good
a brawl. You know, it really wasn't. It was frustrating.
Frustration well-founded, because I could not believe that there would be that kind of hype, the fight to save boxing. Mm-hmm. I mean, please, we all know styles make fights. Floyd Mayweather underscored his first priority in the ring is self-preservation. He's going to be very defensively oriented. Oscar, to his credit, tried to press the fight and make it something. If it were Oscar De La Hoya of 5 to 7 years ago, it might have had a chance at being a competitive fight.
Right.
But that's Floyd's style. You know, being and the arena at the MGM Grand Garden, there was a different feel because, of course, the crowd was reacting. Even when the punches were being blocked that Oscar was throwing, they were, of course, going crazy because it was so pro-Oscar.
Right.
But to save boxing, please, no, it was a good, it was a decent fight. It wasn't one that lived up anywhere near to the hype. It was technically proficient in the whole nine yards. But, hey, look, I understand I do work for HBO, but the one good thing about them, they always advocate us being very candid. I mean, $54.95, I might have had to wait for the delayed broadcast.
Yeah, really, yeah, absolutely.
All right, listen, here's, I know you don't have a lot of time. One football question. I'm going to try not to make it about all of the bad stuff going on, but I have a question about one of the players now in the spotlight. Not Ricky Williams, who tested for weed today, and not Pac-Man, but Mike Vick. Mm. Now, I am a big Mike Vick fan. We goof on him and with his herpes and everything, and Ron Mexico, but God damn, JB, excuse me, gosh darn, 3 or 4 years ago, I would watch any game Mike Vick was in. I still think he's fantastic. There is a story out there that is at his house in Virginia. There's like 100 dogs, fighting dogs, that this is something that's going like cockfighting.
Okay.
And it's Michael Vick's house.
Right.
And he's getting pulled into this. It's almost like under the NFL's brand new you can't do anything bad law, which is not really a law.
Mm-hmm.
My question for you is, where does the NFL come down on, if it's Pac-Man Jones going to a strip club, okay, I get that, get in a fight, I get that. If it's Mike Vick with a hinky water bottle, maybe. But Mike Vick and fighting dogs? I guess the long-winded question, JB, is, does Mike Vick have the chance to be the quarterback that I thought he would be? And is Atlanta running out of patience with him, with stories like the dogfighting stuff?
And the answer to both questions are yes. He has the ability to be the quarterback you thought he could be, although there are a sufficient number of doubters, including my ex-colleague Jimmy Johnson, who says he's an outstanding running back who's playing quarterback, and there are a number who still feel that. Look, the kid is a special kid. I've talked to enough quarterbacks. Todd Blackledge was one of the ones I talked with most recently about him and asking, what do you do with him? How do you play him? He says, you know what? You just find a system that exploits what he does well. Talk to Billy Height, one of the assistant head coaches down there, and they say you find a system that exploits what he does because he is a special kid. Now, let me be clear about this. I haven't spent enough time to be able to stand on definitive ground with this, but I've heard it enough times that there's got to be cause for concern that the work ethic is not there. This kid, I understand, being a youngster, having tremendous amounts of money thrown his way, being the guy in Atlanta that everyone talks about, being the franchise, it is an awful lot to handle, and one has to be special in order to deal with that. At some point, you got to make a decision one way or the other. Last night, we were doing something. It was the Potomac Ridge Behavioral Health Center, a gala that they had, and I mentioned that because Chris Carter received the Humanitarian of the Year Award, and I had a chance to interview Chris afterwards. And the thing is, you recall, he was drafted by the Eagles in 87, right, kicked to the curb by the Eagles in 1990 because of his alcohol and cocaine addiction and use. He got picked up for the princely sum of $100 by the Minnesota Vikings, but got into a system where some people who cared for him in the employee assistant program, turned him around, and he goes on to become one of the best receivers ever to play the game. I can only hope that it'll happen to Mike Vick. Mike Vick, how much longer can you wait, especially with that investment? Clearly, they've put their hat on him one more time. I pray that the kid puts in the work ethic necessary to get it done because he is a phenomenal player who can do it. And recognizing that he is a major role model, I understand, you know what, that may be drawing the line too much. If that's what he decides to do on his own property, that's his deal. But he ought to know that everything he does, excuse me, including breaking wind, people want to know how loud, how long, the whole nine yards. Yeah. You got to carry yourself accordingly.
Isn't part of the story with Chris Carter, doesn't he credit Buddy Ryan and somebody that Buddy Ryan called him in and said, you are fantastic, but the stuff is messing you up. Now get out of here. I think I read that he later said Buddy Ryan helped turn his life around.
He did, because he said when he was driving home after being kicked to the curb, he looked as he was riding across the bridge and said, you know what, this is not how I want my life to go. I know how talented I am, given all that I've done up until this point in time. This cannot be the last chapter written in the book. And then I don't remember the lady's name, but he credits a lady with the employee assistance program there with the Minnesota Vikings for having to turn him around. And boy, has he done. Hey, fellas, he's got a successful business, he and his brother, that's about an $80 million business. He's got 300 employees in 10 different cities, so and he really gives back in a significant way. The kid, well, he's not a young kid anymore, but Chris is really doing an outstanding job, and I'm really proud of him.
Have you ever heard of a more retarded story in the NFL? It's like Michael Vick owns 100 dogs and a house.
And what I was going to mention to you.
His cousin lives in and the dogs fight.
That was news to me, and you were saying, hey, it's different. Maybe it's different, but my question would be, if it's fighting dogs, it's illegal, right? It's like cockfighting in the United States. Is it illegal?
I don't know.
You guys would know better than me. I have to plead ignorance on that. I don't understand, because I do remember that Roy Jones Jr., you know, raised chickens and cockfighting, if I'm not mistaken, down on his property. So I don't know whether or not that's, you know, individual states in terms of what's allowed or not. But Roy Jones certainly raised a bunch of chickens for the purpose of roosters for the purpose of fighting.
Wow. Well, JB, you just said cockfighting, which means you said half of a bad word. So I hope you're going to go to a Saturday night mass.
Yeah, you know what? As a matter of fact, I better go read the entire Book of Psalms now, right?
And, the important question, really important question, how long until football is back, JB? How long?
Wow, you know what? For me, it's going to start back up in about a month.
Oh, I wish I was you.
I wish I was you every day. And you know what? Now, since I blew it in terms of not extending the invitation to the JB Awards, which will be rectified from this point forward, if I've got any jaunts to go on, whether it's down at Redskins Park on stories or other things, can I call you guys and get you to be involved in that?
Absolutely.
Are you kidding, JB?
Yeah.
Consider it done.
Big time.
Consider it done. Matter of fact, let's try to find out if we can get you guys involved in some of the interviews. That's right, because I forgot you guys are major football fans. Okay, it's done.
Love it.
Done.
Very good. JB, good talking to you. And also, check out your HBO show, Real Sports.
Don't act like you don't know me if you see me up in Ocean City now.
Okay. Turn that around and look in the mirror, because I'll be wearing the shirt going, where are you, JB?
Hey, God bless you guys. Miss you, too.
You, too. All right. Bye,
take
JB.
Care.
Bye,
bye-bye.
JB.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Hey, way to go to get us, because we will, you know how he is, we will get an invite to that thing. And, of course, if Elizabeth has anything to say about it.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Her from the back of the room, that's the truth.
Good
right?
luck.
She is the best. And I think she was actually instrumental in getting him to do the show in the first place many years ago.
Good.
So you should say her name again. She loves it. Elizabeth. Malia.
Yeah, so, Mike, that whole JB, that whole Michael Vick thing is that the cops went to the house in Virginia that he owns.
And he's breeding dogs for fighting purposes?
Not that he's breeding them, but they open up the door and there's like 100 dogs in there. And they all fight all the time. And they don't fight like puppies. I mean, they fight like where guys come over and... Yeah, say, I bet the bulldog can beat a poodle.
Oh, 70 pit bulls or something like that. I heard that Michael Vick saying that he was sort of dragged into that by his family and that he was trying to deal with that situation. I don't know what that means exactly.
Wow.
Doesn't he have a brother in football?
Just got cut by Miami.
Yeah, and his brother...
Who let the dogs out?
His brother was kind of a bust, too, right?
Who let the dogs out?
You know, I want to yell at him, but that's remotely funny.
Who let the dogs out?
Fighting dogs.
It would have been really funny 5 years ago. It's just pretty funny now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Hey, boy. Hey, you know, it's his weekend, boy. Hey there, boy. Yeah. You got a mother?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's wonderful. 87 years young.
You got a mother?
God bless her.
We're going to have our Mother's Day tribute coming up there, boy.
Oh, you're going to love this. I'm going to enjoy this, and I'm also going to say, wherever they got their tissues, grab your tissues there, boy. It's really going to make you cry.
Tears?
Tears on the pillow, boy.
Yeah, boy.
crying is good, right?
It's sad. It's sad, right?
But it's good and it's bad.
Sure. And loving your mother, that's good, right?
Sure.
Yeah, there, boy.
She's maternal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, I miss Mama Zyga.
My mama never breastfed me.
Larry. I'm Larry from the corner.
You remember where your mom lived?
Where?
In the apartment with Mel Brooks' mother, Don Rickles' mother.
Yeah.
They all big, 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 big. Bigger than big.
Yeah,
bigger
there, boy.
Than big, big,
yeah,
big. There. Bang,
yeah,
bang,
there.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, there, boy.
Mother's Day.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Randy was pointing out all the things he was going to miss at the motel. It was our last night there. We were moving.
Vending machine that takes buttons. Paul, the sleepwalking guy from downstairs.
Yeah, I would have missed Paul, too. We've had some good times here. Except for the gas leak, that was kind of scary.
It wasn't that bad. We slept through most of it.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Wham, bam, thank you, man.
It was really hard because he would tell me he was sorry. He would do something like...
I had to set that up.
Let's hear Jude Walker first.
Like a life-altering herpetic sore.
Yes.
The Don and Mike Show.
Now, with her special Mother's Day message...
Carrie Spiewak.
It was really hard because he would tell me he was sorry. He would do something like push me or throw me against the wall, but then he would cry and say, I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't mean to. I just lost my temper. I love you.
Love you.
I'm not saying anything anymore. I've made my feelings known.
Touching. You're fine.
On the matter. On the subject at hand.
She's a good kid.
Good kid.
Nice broad.
Good, nice broad. She's a hell of a dame.
She's the mother of your children.
Yeah. Couple of them.
That too.
Right, stud. Right, Johnny Appleseed.
Yeah.
Because when you were at JMU.
Hey, VCU.
VCU. Same difference.
Yeah.
Virginia Commonwealth University.
You were just laying the wood everywhere.
Well, they issued me a diploma and a stick.
You get a lot of action in college, Rob?
No. Don't get a lot of action before I was married. Don't get any action after I was married. I don't know when it starts. I'm still waiting.
So during the marriage, before and after, well, there isn't an after, you think. Thank God.
Well, we'll see.
We will see.
The weekend is still young.
Yes, it is.
I do love my future ex-wife.
She's the luckiest lady in the world.
Sure is. Yeah. What do you have to do for Mother's Day, Rob?
I don't know. I think I'm going to make dinner.
This is one you have to do something for. It's her birthday that she doesn't really care about, right?
Was that off the air? That was off the air before the show when he was talking. Were you talking about, or did you say you went to her? I just want to say, you said that you went to... This is not exactly in the gift-giving Bible here.
Hmm.
When you walk
you
up...
You try to deal with her.
When you walk up to somebody and you say, do you want... Did you say it like that? Do you want me to get you a present for Mother's Day?
No, here's exactly how it worked out. She was at the mall this week, and she said, I saw a watch at the mall that I liked, but you shouldn't get it for me because I don't need it. I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And today we were downstairs, and I was getting ready, and she said... I said to her, I said, would you like something for Mother's Day?
That's it, right there.
Would you like something for Mother's Day?
See, normally, there's a problem.
Or a husband that doesn't hit me.
Or would you like nothing?
There was a problem.
Yeah, would you like something or nothing?
The problem was way before that question. But I said, would you like something for Mother's Day? She says, well, there's that watch. I said, I got you a watch for Christmas. You don't wear it. And besides, if I got you a watch, you'd be late anyway.
So have weird, habits in your marriage about gift giving.
Yes, I do. Oh, not just...
Well, all the other stuff. But you don't... There's certain holidays, like Valentine's Day, you don't get gifts.
We don't do Valentine's Day.
And for Mother's Day, you walk downstairs and you say to her, would you like something for Mother's Day?
Now, here's the deal, though.
I know a lot of women might get upset about
how is it that you are somehow have almost a shield on you against all of the advertising and the propaganda that we hear. Mother's Day, Mother's Day, Mother's Day. You're a schmuck if you don't give her something from the jewelry store. And if you don't have a little baby outside in his little carriage thing, he drove all the way to the store. Well, he's not old enough to drive. Look, it's earrings, you bitch. Happy Mother's Day.
And usually in most relationships, it's kind of a given for the mother of your children. You get something, and I know a lot of women would be a little concerned if you said, would you like me to get you a present?
Yeah, well, she normally tells me what she wants. This is how she and her sister and her mom, it's how they all operate.
Okay.
They all shop for each other, and they all know exactly what... Like for Christmas, by December 10th, it's done. They know who's getting what for who, and
but Robbie,
that's how she operates.
Being as the,
I will get her a present. I know what I'm going to get her, but I wanted to know if there was something that she wanted.
I see. Have you ever surprised her?
Yes, I have.
And I'm not talking
with
about
the gift. Yes,
with the gift. Oh.
And how did that work out?
Great as always. I mean, she's just so happy with everything.
That's good.
That, you know, she was delighted.
See, I find
he's talking in riddles again.
I know it is. I know he is. And that's what's funny about him.
Most gifts that I get her will be exchanged and sometimes secretly returned.
It's like on Star Trek, Shields Up. For whatever reason, he is immune to the bombarding we have now that you're a bad person if you don't buy your mother something.
Right.
You know, do something for the mother of your children.
Well, Julia is now in kindergarten, Robert's in preschool. I know that they've each got cards that they've made for her, so we'll make sure
mother.
That, and then I will buy cards.
nice that you got the kids, you're using the kids' thing. Well, they're doing
well,
that in school.
Without the kids, there's no need to
but
celebrate
the holiday. But they're doing
that
in school.
Right.
You have nothing to do with that.
Yeah, but they made them. I mean, they're
yeah,
nice.
That's, you're going to give her that, of course.
Well,
and
that's
then
from
I will
the kids,
go,
though.
That's
and
from the kids.
I will get her a card as well, something lovely. Yeah.
What about for your own mother?
I will get her, yeah, she's told me what she wants already.
Really?
She told you what she wants?
Well, she dropped a hint about a month ago and then let it lay, so I know exactly what to get her. And so I'll take care of all of this tomorrow.
You
get some cards, get
you
her
see, Oedipus is the man's name.
Now, where does it go to there?
I don't know, but I'm laughing at it.
You love your mama.
Well,
you are.
But not that way.
Well, on Mother's Day, though, you definitely have a higher regard for your mother than you do for the mother of your children.
No, I'll end up spending more on Carrie.
And then there are a lot of people that would make the argument that on Mother's Day, that the real gift-giving is supposed to be from the children to the mother,
right,
and not for the husband to the mother of the children.
Everyone,
but it doesn't matter because the husbands are expected to do
Sunday,
it.
On Sunday, everyone will leave happy. Everybody
really?
Will be happy. And maybe Carrie will return the gift. I don't know.
Oedipus Spiewak.
That's me. Just call me Ed. Big Ed.
Oedipus Spiewak.
But, yeah, so I'll have to probably go and buy some cards and stuff tomorrow. Yeah. Cards and whatnot.
I guess my point is that I don't sense in your tone the, what's the word I'm looking for? The
passion? Urgency?
Yes. It seems when talking
about the need.
With your mom, it was like a gift from my mom. Oh, yeah, she totally got it handled.
Right.
For Carrie, all of a sudden, it's
do you want something for Mother's Day? I mean, I, in a lot of situations, and I'm nobody. Look, I've been to the rodeo twice.
Sure,
I'm a failed marriage person, so I can't talk with any authority. But it seems to me when you say that to a woman, you're going to get kind of a reaction there. You know,
but,
do you want something?
Well, not no.
You know, they'll say no, but then you're going to get busted for saying that in the first place.
Not Carrie. She'll be honest. She'll tell me. I mean, we've been married almost 11 years now, and I've seen too many gifts. Be, you know, oh, this is great. And then I say, whatever happened to dot, dot, dot? And she says, dot, 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 was returned.
Now you're going to laugh at me. Right. But what about the concept of maybe just overhearing her, listening to her when you're out and about and
done
you're walking
that?
Around with her and you see something.
That was for listening to her. out listening to her when you're out and about.
That's going to happen.
Rob listening to Carrie.
Like when we're walking in the park?
No. When you're in the house and she says she likes something, and then you just sort of file it, and then you pick it up and...
I've done it, but that's more of a Christmas thing.
Okay.
Anyway, he gets off easy on Mother's Day.
He seems to
every
be.
Day.
It's good.
Hey.
I'm sure it'll be fine. And I'm making dinner.
What are you going to make?
I think I'll do steaks and make an apple crisp for dessert, one of her favorites.
Well, that's very nice.
See?
An apple crisp.
He's so Rob, isn't he?
He is Rob.
Yeah, let this be whack.
Yeah, you
do you have an apron? Do you have an apron when you do that? When you
and
make
that's
the apple
all
crisp?
I wear.
And it was it's a kiss
turn around.
Kiss the cook.
That's right. Different verb.
An apple crisp.
You would kill a cat to eat it. It's so great.
Really?
You would kill a dog to eat it.
You would anyway. You make it homemade?
Of course, from scratch.
Really?
Sure, a lot of butter.
That's neat.
It's good.
That's very good.
Anyway, you get the pass. I know for years and years, well, all guys feel this way. This weekend, there's incredible pressure on you, mainly with your wife, mainly with the mother of your children. Mm-hmm. You get that type of pressure because most people feel the way that Rob does. I was kidding him, but it's like with your mom, if you're a guy, it comes easier because she's your mom.
She's right.
Mom. Then on the other hand, there's the woman that's the mother of your children, and she's great, and she's the mother of your children. But on the other hand,
she's not your mother.
She's your wife. You know what I mean?
Well, that's where I'm also in an advantageous situation or advantageous. And, you know, it's one of the I don't want to say the nicest things, but it is one of the benefits of being divorced is that, you know, that holiday is no longer relevant.
And
as far as on that end, I send something to my mom.
This entire week, you cannot turn on the TV, open the newspaper without reading, you know, what is it that mom really wants this year?
Mm-hmm.
What do you get mom this year? And right away, I start thinking, and I know I say this every year, I'm sorry, I don't even know when Father's Day is.
Right.
But
I don't either.
But there is no turnaround equal value on the importance of Father's Day.
No, it never has been.
You'll get a grill.
Well, it's tools. It's tools.
And they also remember they pair it up. It's dads and grads.
Right, right. Yep, that's right. Dads
that's
and
right.
grads.
Dads get gypped, don't
they? We were ripped off because they had to throw the grads in on top of us.
Mm-hmm. Dads and grads.
Sucks. But we rail against it every year.
Got it. And it's all the same hokey crap. The commercials that now make me want to puke almost as much as, and I don't know why, it's K Jewelers. There, I've said it.
Mm-hmm.
It's K Jewelers.
Mm-hmm. Fine, fine sponsor, I believe.
Great jewelry store, my guy. You know I buy exclusively all my jewelry at K.
Right, Laboris and all the fine products. I'm sorry, that was Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon.
Yes.
But they've got one in particular that's driving me nuts, and it's a guy, it's a black guy, and his wife. And
oh, and they're observing the couple?
They've got... No, not that one. Oh. That's another one. It's like, what anniversary do you think they're on?
Yeah.
That's their first anniversary. He went to K. He's smart.
Yeah.
The other one that's driving me nuts now is where you got the couple, like I said, and they got the little girl in the stroller, less than a year old.
Right.
And the dad says, baby went out shopping for you driving. And the mom goes, she's not old enough to drive. And then he goes... He wanted you to have the best Mother's Day ever. And then they splice in 8,000 different gifts where he gives her the diamond bracelet.
Right,
then
right.
He gives her the earrings. Then he gives her the choker. Then he gives her the bracelet. And all of the gifts are interchangeable, just stuck in the same slot in the commercial.
Right.
And after you get beat over the head with it for a while,
sure,
it's just me, I guess.
Yeah, but then again, you see Father's Day, and they put out the stuff in the department stores like, here's a shoe caddy for Dad. You know, something that's going to end up at the back of the closet that'll never really even have any really great use.
Maybe I'll get Carrie a choker.
Yeah, she already has you.
And I shouldn't have said that, because choker is like, you might as well get her puka shells, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, I shouldn't?
No, you should.
What did she say she wanted? I mean, do you mind sharing that?
Well, she wanted a watch, remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. A watch, a specific kind of watch?
Yeah.
You told her no.
Yeah. It was like
slapped her down on that one. You said no, you already have too many watches. So.
And she wouldn't be on time anyway, because she has no respect for
it. See what he does?
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Prove that it's not needed.
Hey, what else? Mother's Day cards is the ones where they're trying to tell you to love your mother more than you actually do.
Like what? By example, please.
Like when they're telling you, like, lifelong friend, your mother, lifelong friend, best friend, this and that. I can't even pick a card out because they suck.
Your mother beat you? Mother's Day cards do suck. I've actually looked for them before.
I think that's a card that would be, like, for a chick, because a chick has that relationship, like, best friend,
yeah,
your
best
mom,
friends,
everything.
The buddies, right.
Yeah, it is hard to find one for...
And it's always the cards son. For Mother's Day are always the same. You know, here you go, you know, you were the wonderful, my confidant. You were the person that cooked. You raised me, right? You know, blah, blah.
I owe you.
You know.
Yeah, Buzz, I owe you.
Have you seen the latest diamond scam? A couple of years ago, and I bought one for Marcia. It was, I think they call it like a snowman arrangement, where there are three diamonds, a little one, a medium-sized one, and a big one in a row that hang on a pendant for a necklace. Now, those are out. Those are passe. The new thing is the serpentine, where it has five diamonds.
And so a little squiggly.
If you play along with this stuff, you have to upgrade.
Mm-hmm. That's called the journey pendant, Buzz.
I see.
Because it symbolizes your journey together.
Mm-hmm. Really?
It's another gift I won't buy.
The journey pendant.
I'm buying it for Ross Valerie's mother.
The widow Valerie?
Very nice. Send a nice little gift out to Steve Perry.
Well, Buzz, you mentioned it.
Mm-hmm. You know, most people look through their wallets or their pocketbooks and way down at the bottom past credit cards and baby pictures, green stamps. You usually find a little old dog-eared piece of poetry.
You know, hold on. We got to do reset before we start this. We've almost used up a whole break talking about Rob's wife.
That's true. She deserves it, though.
Yeah.
She's great.
She is.
It was really hard because he would tell me he was sorry. He would do something like push me or throw me against the wall. But then he would cry and say, I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't mean to. I just lost my temper. I love you.
Stop fight!
What not?
Bastard. Just made you a card.
I just want to lie on the beach and eat hot dogs. That's all I've ever wanted.
Okay, so there's a song by Jimmy Dean.
A tape from Rob's wife and a tape from Rob.
There's a song by Jimmy Dean, The Sausage Guy.
Yes. Yes.
It's a spoken word song.
The definitive Mother's Day song.
Yeah. And it's called IOU. I discovered this song. I didn't discover it. I found it. I didn't find it. It was thrust upon me in 1979. But I was working at WPGC when one of my mentors, Scott Shannon,
right,
who's the king of hee-haw radio, decided that we would play this record every hour on the top of the hour on a top 40 station on Mother's Day.
He loved that holiday.
And it was him doing the voiceover.
Oh.
So it would be like, ladies and gentlemen, WPGC wishes you a happy Mother's Day.
You know, most people look through their wallets or their pocketbooks and way down at the bottom past credit cards and baby pictures, yeah, green stamps. You usually find a little old dog-eared piece of poetry.
And at 25 years later, it is still about the hokiest, most
he loved it, though, didn't he?
Piece of crap. Yeah.
He thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Beautiful.
He loved it. He could, every hour. It's like the disc jockeys were saying, We might as well just get on the air and say, change the station for the next 5 minutes. Because it is a spoken word song,
right,
about mamas.
And it's a bygone era, too.
Oh, yeah. And it was out of place on the radio 25 years ago.
Right.
And
more so now.
It's out of place on the radio today.
Not with your remix.
But we will do something to make it just a little better. Jody.
Our favorite mommy.
Joan Crawford.
She's chopping down the bushes. She's very upset. Because Louis B. Mayer called her box office poison.
Mommy dearest. We're going to mix this with IOU.
She's doing this, incidentally, in front of her kids.
Yeah, she's chopping down roses.
Yes.
She's mad at them.
Christopher, Christina.
Damn it.
Yes, in the middle of the night, she's awakened the children. Very selfish.
Tina. Bring me the axe.
Yes, they're coming to the crescendo now.
Tina! Bring me the axe!
You know, most people look through their wallets or their pocketbooks and way down at the bottom past credit cards and baby pictures, green stamps. You usually find a little old dog-eared piece of poetry.
I love you, Mommy dear. I love you, Tina, darling.
I was cleaning out my wallet the other day, and I ran across...
Oh, no, we've started doing it.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing it? I didn't know if you were going to do the whole thing.
Got a break.
Oh, geez.
Got a break. Come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What not?
Hey, hold on. Where'd the Spider-Man song go?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. It's a bad one.
He says what not as much as he can.
Please, the bad one.
Spider-Man.
Right.
Can talk to fish underwater. When he turns green, he grows in size. His clothes rip off from kryptonite. Look out. Here comes the Spider-Man. He's my favorite member of the Fantastic Four. His utility belt is really cool. His airplane is invisible. Spinach makes him super strong. Shazam. There goes the Spider-Man.
The mayors of Boner City.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, I will probably see Spidey 3 this weekend. Awesome, I forgot. Georgia Rule opens this weekend.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan. Yay.
What the hell was that tape?
What's the mother's tape?
I was looking for a gay tape.
Gay.
Right. Jane Fonda,
Lindsay Lohan,
and Felicity Huffman.
Felicity Huffman, who I saw on Regis the other day, and actually I do her.
Sure. I saw her, too, and I thought she had like a body of a 16-year-old boy.
She's muscular.
She's no Kelly Ripa now.
She works out a lot.
I mean, she looks more...
And she was packed into this very sexy dress, and I thought she looked stunning. I really thought she looked good.
Bad road.
Well, you know, you guys brought something up when I was talking about this off the other day, the Bill Macy
fact. Yeah.
You know, with his little
dimpled.
This is my deal here, Wade.
You know, and that's what I think.
The cooler.
Well, the cooler is when you see his butt a lot.
And
I just can't get that out of my head.
So I'm the only one that's going to see Delta Farce?
Delta Farce with Larry the Cable Guy.
That's a get her done.
You know what it is?
What's that?
What I heard was and whatnot is that they end up in Mexico and they think they're going to Iraq.
You know, if you did not listen to the whole show today, first, shame on you, bad listener.
Very bad. And greetings to Claude, Pierre, Francois, Marcel, Jacques, and Henri.
All of the Dumas's they called
them. The Dumas's earlier in the show.
But we have the great montage of all of Dale Jr.'s whatnot.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
Don't know if we're going to have time for it or not today, again, but it was in the beginning part of the show.
And his sister.
Whatnot.
Should have been here.
Yeah, they're great. Boy, we got those tapes. We've got all the Al Roker tapes.
Right.
We have that idiot disc jockey, Mancow, on Fox, screaming about how Opie and Anthony are liberals.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is that what he's going with his career now? Is that the angle that he's taking?
Yeah, because, you know, they did that bit on their show with the homeless guy saying he wanted to rape the queen.
Right.
So now this other jackass disc jockey, Mancow, is going on Fox News screaming that Opie and Anthony are liberals.
Oh, so he's going the right wing road.
Yes, he is.
Oh, of course.
We got that tape.
Because
here,
we don't have enough of that.
We got that tape.
And Mancow, who's done plenty of crap himself.
He has. That's and true. Remember, when they did the thing with the water drinking in Sacramento, that
that's when he came out and he got on every news show that he could get on.
Yeah, he started his giant Let's Clean Up Radio campaign.
Right. He's the guy. As opposed to the real thing to do, the righteous thing to do, which would have been there but for the grace of God go I, he decided to get on every network he could saying, hey, this was terrible.
And listen, there are not too many people that Mike and I can look at and laugh at their syndication efforts, but really, I mean, please. We are Howard Stern compared to Mancow.
Mancow, who somewhere was it last year, decided he was going to take a right turn in his career and do that type of stuff.
What happened was, God, what is the story there? He's working at Q101 in Chicago.
And a guy's got a right to do anything he wants with his radio career. I mean, if he wants to change the direction, that's fine. What we take issue with is when you're preaching from the mountaintop, when you've done crap, and really, I mean, it could have easily been you in another incarnation. That's what made me mad about
it. Yeah, I think we mentioned before a long time ago, this is the douchebag that made his name in radio. When Clinton was on an airplane and stopped an airport so he could get a haircut.
Right.
This DJ Mancow went on the Golden Gate Bridge and stopped traffic so he could get a haircut.
Yeah.
That's his idea of a wacky stunt.
Yeah.
So now he's now that his career has gone down the crapper, he's on this thing about let's clean up radio, blah, blah, blah.
I knew he was doing that. I didn't know that he was coming at it from a right-wing perspective.
So O&A do this bit, as I mentioned, with the homeless guy about on satellite radio, which you have to pay for to hear, hello,
right,
about rape. And this is what he says last night on Fox.
Yeah. What's your take on it?
You know, look, these guys are extreme liberals. You've got
Mancow. Yeah. This is not a left-right issue.
Yeah.
This is really not.
What about them talking to him like he's a real guy? Settle down now, Mancow.
And the whole, I forgot, the whole rap, that guy, that screaming.
Oh, out of voice there, Mike!
Yeah. Oh, I'm in charge. It's just what we need.
You're liberals!
Now he's doing the right-wing thing. Another guy screaming that he's the right guy. Right.
What's your opinion, Mr. Cal?
Left-right issue.
Yeah, I really think it is, Al. I'm sorry. Because you say it's not. It's not. Okay, Alan, fine. They're liberal guys.
We're not doing a political show. Let's talk about what this is really about.
They're talking about raping Laura Bush and raping the Secretary of State.
That's not because they're liberal. Don't make this a political thing.
You wouldn't hear a Sean Hannity or a Rush sitting around talking about
that. You wouldn't hear any liberal make a...
Jesus Christ.
What an idiot.
They're doing comedy radio.
What's he on? Hannity and Combs? Yeah. Is that what he was on?
They may not approve of the comedy, but they're not making political statements. Listen.
They are so non-political. They really are.
Yeah.
They're less political than we are.
He's on our station in Miami, right? So maybe he's hearing this now. Take it from someone who's also very low on the food chain, as you are, Mancow, in the radio business, looking at the big picture with all the big names out there.
Mm-hmm.
Your time has passed.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to ever climb up to the throne of radio by jumping on people's necks who are doing the exact same thing that you did until you got canned a year ago.
You really have to put it in perspective, and you have to really take with a grain of salt a guy that attacked somebody when he was doing similar radio.
And that's the thing that you have to watch very, very carefully. You really do. And you know what? When DJs, and look, when DJs say stupid things or do stupid things, really, they're the first ones that know that they screwed up. Trust
me.
Believe me, Opie and Anthony.
They don't need Mantel, you know, screaming about
them. Opie and Anthony didn't have a very good night last night. Trust me. And you could hear it on their show today. It's very, very frustrating for them as well. But it's, the, you know, the fact is there are enough people that gun for us in this racket. And really, we've discussed it before, that we're out here, they're paying us to do a certain job, we have to have certain content, and occasionally things are going to go over the line. It's going to happen.
The last thing we need as radio guys, and Mike was speaking about when he says us, meaning all people that do this type of radio.
Right, right.
The last thing we need is some guy that couldn't make it trying to make his name by all of a sudden saying, I wash my hands of being just like you guys.
And really, ManCow, do you think we're buying it? Do you really think we're buying it? I mean, Rush Limbaugh did this act decades before you did, and we weren't buying it then. And believe me, it is an act, and we know it's an act.
I like every square inch of my glorious naked body.
I mean, is it as transparent to everybody else as it is to me what this guy's trying to do?
Just the first 5 seconds.
What's your take on it?
You know, look, these guys are extreme liberals. You know,
I mean, it takes 5 seconds, and right away you know. The guy's a know-nothing douchebag.
He's an idiot. I mean, he's an absolute idiot to make that a political issue. An absolute mindless moron to come on there and say that about this particular incident.
This has got to be a time in radio when you cannot be jumping on the necks of the other guys so you can climb up the food chain. Because
right.
You know what, man, Cal? Let's say we live in a wild fantasy world where you get that job. I guarantee you do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee. You get pushed up against the wall. You're trying. The ratings aren't budging. What the hell? You say something one day.
You know, really, it can happen. It can happen on a phone call. It can happen with somebody that's in the studio.
Right.
It can happen when you're talking about a news story. When you're doing 4 hours a day of live radio, some stuff is going to happen.
The only time that that's acceptable in my weird value system is if you are directly competing with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
if it's you against them
right.
to be number one in the city, well, then it's like pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But ManCow is not on anywhere.
But even if you were competing with them, to come out and rail against, you know, what they're doing, when you've come from the same, when you've made many dollars on the same type of crap.
Right? And you really better make sure that from now on, there ain't nothing on your show, douchebag,
right.
that anybody can come back with and say was controversial or demeaning to people or anything else.
Yeah, I mean, really, you know, I remember when you came out the very first time, it was no secret that we had a little DJ war with Opie and Anthony. Everybody knew it, or certainly everybody that listened to this show. And when the chips were down for those guys, I remember when you came out, and you meant it, that you felt bad, because you put it in perspective enough to know
right.
that there but for the grace of God go we.
Right.
That could have been us. It could have been us on a number of occasions. Nobody likes that crap to happen. Nobody likes things to, you know, to go out over the air that cause that kind of crap. But it happens because it's moving at light speed.
Right.
It is moving at light speed more than television, more than movies, more than anything else. It is moving so fast, doing this every single day, it's very frustrating to see a guy like that who's really, he's not even, you know what, he's not speaking from the heart, in my opinion.
No,
I'm hearing a guy that is feathering his own nest on the problems
you know
of other disc jockeys.
He's a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
No. Really, to those of us in the biz, he's a traitor. It's like if someone in your profession does something bad, you're the first guy to stand up and say, hey, whoa, bad, no, look at me, ManCow.
The guys you want to really worry about in every area, I mean, no matter, it can be radio, television, it can be the guy at the office.
Mm-hmm.
You get the guy that is preaching from the mountaintop, and it's happened again and again and again. Those are the guys, watch out, because there's something going on
trouble.
There, because they're not being honest. You know, they're not acknowledging the fact that we're, you know, we're human beings and stuff is going to happen.
You know, I am going to have to pull this. I've got it somewhere. I was telling you guys, I read an article in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago about where they're talking about how not only is it racial stuff, but we got to work on, you know, they think we got to work on being nicer to people.
Meanness, yeah.
One of the people cited in that article, John, do a search on this, it would be great, was ManCow.
Mm-hmm.
where it had, like, on a recent show, somebody's cell phone broke up, and he called him an aborted fetus.
Mancow did?
Yeah. Should that guy be screaming about Opie and Anthony doing a bit on satellite radio?
I don't think so. Especially when it's, you know what, here's what I hate about it the most. Because really, you can take all the stuff that's done, all the controversies that you hear, and you can make your judgment call on that, and everybody's got the right to make that. And the way we feel personally about some of the stuff that's gone over the airwaves has nothing to do with our position about, you know, people in this business, because we understand what they're going through. We understand what they're dealing with. A guy like Mancow doesn't acknowledge that fast, and it is opportunism of the purest form. It really is. It is a guy that is taking advantage
of
everybody else's screw
up. That's the word.
Yes.
Opportunism.
He's doing it, and it is as transparent as anything I've ever seen.
What's your take on it?
These guys are extreme liberals.
Mancow. This is not a left-right issue.
Yeah.
This is really not a left-right issue.
Yeah, I really think it is, Alan.
It's
sorry.
It is not. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Oh, well, because you say it's not. It's not. Okay, Alan, fine. They're liberal
not
guys.
We're not doing a political show. Let's talk about what this is really about.
They're talking about raping Laura Bush and raping the Secretary of State.
It's horrible.
And
it's not because they're liberal. Don't make this a political
thing. You wouldn't hear a Sean Hannity or a Rush.
This guy Mancow sounds like the worst parody of a shock jock.
He's really helping our cause, you know, to go on, because that's why he's there, even though I don't know what kind. I've never listened to the show. I've never heard his show.
Mancow.
So I don't understand, you know, where he comes from. You say he says stuff like that. He had the rap of being a shock jock earlier in his career, right?
You bring up a good point. He sounds like what they would cast on, like, Law and Order. If they wanted to put a radio personality.
But really, and take all that other stuff away, and then listen to what he says. You're on a national television show. You're on Fox. Instead of really trying to come across as maybe a guy that thinks about what he says and a bright guy, he wants to come and endear himself.
He's got to scream.
And he's got to scream liberals because he thinks that there he is being the opportunity.
He knows he's on Fox.
Yeah.
Right. Here we go.
More. Just sitting around
you wouldn't
talking
hear
about
any
that.
Liberal
Colton,
make
you
a,
know it.
And Mancow, you wouldn't hear any respectable Democrat or liberal say anything near that. And how dare you make this a political issue and use this to whack
Alec
liberals?
Baldwin
this has nothing
Alec
to do with
Baldwin
that.
Didn't
you
ought
to be ashamed of yourself
voting.
For even trying to make this a left-right issue.
All right. You want to dance, Ginger? Okay, I'll play Fred with you. We'll do the little dance.
No, not dancing.
Alec Baldwin
I'm just
talking.
Wow.
Hey, you want to be Fred, I'll be Ginger.
hey, listen, you want to be Marianne, I'll be the skipper, but I'm going to tell you something right now. I've achieved fame by screaming at the top of my lungs.
That's a proper perspective. You're way out of line
here
to
in
make
Chicago.
This a liberal
Rosie
issue.
Rosie doesn't get violent. Rosie doesn't say awful things.
How could you possibly listen? I mean, forget what he's saying.
Yeah.
How could you possibly listen to this crap on the radio?
This is the most amount of time I've ever heard the guy, and I've read about him. I've read about him, and I've seen him on one other show where he was a talking head again.
My God.
And that was when the they had the Sacramento Water thing that happened.
It makes the texture of our show seem almost silky.
Mm-hmm. It makes us seem even civil.
And it needs to be.
Which is wonderful.
What, Mike?
It needs to be restated, his name. Mancow.
Yeah, keep calling him that to give him credibility.
Listen, right. Mancow.
What was that? What was that douchebag?
Now, is that like a conglomerate? Is that some silly name, or is his real name?
His name is Eric Mueller.
Eric Mueller.
Eric Mueller.
Mueller.
Now, there's nothing funnier than real DJ names.
Mueller.
Eric Mueller.
Mueller.
This is in a free environment where they're allowed to spout this kind of stuff, and it is political when they talk about raping our current Secretary of State and raping our First Lady,
it's
Alan.
It's horrible, Mancow. No liberal
you
would
and
make
I are on
a
the same
comment
side of
like
this.
That.
No liberal.
So if they had said it like about Hillary Clinton, it would have been okay, right, Mancow?
As God is my witness, whatever was said on the Opie and Anthony show, it wouldn't have mattered what administration was in that office.
Right.
Okay?
Right,
this was not a liberal conservative issue.
Stupid disc jockey.
Right. Why is this guy getting the press?
Have you ever seen Bill Maher, Alan?
Does he talk about raping people?
This is to the extreme, Alan, but I'm talking about this kind of
no, this has nothing to do with Bill Maher. This is way beyond anything Bill Maher does. Mancow, I think you're way out of line here.
Why do you favor rape?
You know, and that Alan Combs, man, really, really, he really speaks up for the left, doesn't he?
Do you
think it's any secret why he's on the Fox Network?
Of course.
Jesus.
The biggest pussy Democrat in the world.
That you're way out of line, man.
And meanwhile, is Hannity on the show last night? Because I don't hear him.
Mancow's Morning Mayhem!
Wow. That's the name of a show. Right. The Morning Madhouse.
Is it really?
Why would I lie?
Morning Madhouse.
Alan, like it or not, they are a anti-Bush, anti-traditional values, anti-everything.
Sorry
if it doesn't work with your agenda, Alan, but it's
a fact. It doesn't work with your agenda.
You're wrong, Alan.
You know what? Not to be an apologist for Opie and Anthony.
Mm-hmm. You're jealous, Mancow! Uh-huh. You're jealous, Mancow!
You know, we should listen to what Mancow says, because by 2002, he had only been fined $42,000 in FCC violation.
Wow. Okay. That says right. There you go. I mean, really.
Thank you, Eric.
God. And so, obviously, this is the... He sees the writing on the wall.
You had the right
word.
He sees
the rush. Yeah, it's opportunistic.
Opportunistic. You got it.
But I had no idea that the guy was such a doomass stain.
Okay, well, let's dance. I'll be Fred, you'll be Ginger.
Who even gets that?
Astaire and Rogers, who are 6 feet under,
right.
Both of them,
long 70 ago.
70 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. God. Well, we've not done our Mother's Day tribute
yet. Yeah.
So let's do that. And Mike, we need something to cleanse our palate here.
We need some sorbet.
To move on.
Yeah.
Would you like a scoop of Dale Jr.?
Yes, please.
Well, we would like to, we'll keep the instances and circumstances throughout the contract and the negotiations and what was proposed and whatnot and...
You want another?
One more whatnot, please.
I'm going to miss a lot of the relationships and working relationships within the shop itself and the individuals that work there. They have my full support mentally and whatnot, but...
you know what? That is a good palate cleanser. Mm-hmm. That got me out of my bad mood talking about Man Cow.
Here comes the plane in the hangar, Mike. Open up.
This decision is made today based solely on my driving career, not my, not my personal interest in my involvement with DEI and whatnot.
How great is that?
Wow.
How great is that, and how awful is this?
You're wrong!
What's your take on it?
You know, look, these guys are extreme liberals.
Liberals, Mancow. This is not a left-right issue.
Yeah.
This is really not a left-right issue.
Yeah.
What not?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. So that's how he's trying to make his hay now, right? Trying to endear himself to the right.
Good luck. Mm-hmm. Wait till the next time you get stuck out there with your thing hanging over the edge, Mancow.
This is really just hearing what I've heard so far. I should tell Mancow that there is, even with all of the right-wing broadcasters that I have heard, there is a little criteria called intelligence. And they do have to be able to make decent, cogent arguments, and I don't think that old Mancow is in that league. I don't think he ever will be in that league.
You know, and just for the record, Mancow, if you're listening wherever you are, the way to play this is to get on the air and not scream. If you do want to be devil's advocate, you get on and say, oh, this is awful, you know. We're talking about public people. Okay. Doesn't matter what party they're from.
Mm-hmm.
We all should get together and sing Kumbaya. Look at my failed career. Look what I've been what I've been reduced to.
Right.
I'm on this show now complaining about Opie and Anthony. Let's light a candle together.
Kumbaya.
Let's hold hands. I mean, do that. But if you're going to sell out, do that.
But don't do this!
There's hypocrisy, and then there's hypocrisy.
Liberals!
I mean, that is just so out of line.
The loudest sarcasm wins.
Yeah.
That's the game. Way to
man,
go.
Oh, man.
And that's what makes me so mad about the guy.
And really,
getting down to humor in our society, all they did was take it to an extreme. For instance, about the Queen.
Right.
Let's look at it. Did we make jokes about the Queen?
Yes, we did.
Is she hot?
Yeah.
Is she hot as
exactly,
balls?
Exactly, right.
Right? David Letterman make jokes about the Queen?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Tony Kornheiser on PTI, just about every night.
Right.
Makes a joke. He'd like to bang the Queen.
Yeah. Did they go too far with it? There are people that felt that they did. The fact is, they did it. It was words. And you know what? And nobody has said this during this entire time. I'm real sorry. And it might piss some people off when I say this, but they didn't mean it.
Right. Has anybody said that during this entire thing? That, you know,
they didn't mean it.
They were doing a bit.
They had
They were filling 4 hours.
They had the company made them apologize today. So there is an apology out there where they apologize. I think to the guy. Apologize to the government.
It's a start,
but you know,
well,
I mean, to the people in government that were disparaged.
Offended. I mean, it sucks, and I know it was bad what was said, but the fact is, it's not like that's the way these guys feel.
And last thing on this topic: why are we wasting time going to the White House to get a White House opinion about something that was said on a satellite radio show?
And the White House, of course, denied comment. They wouldn't dignify it with a response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's crap.
Right. Well,
it's what we all do. I got news for you. Mm-hmm. This is fluff. This is the entertainment crap that we do here, okay? We're just trying to have a little fun, folks, as Dean Martin once said. Just trying to have a little fun, folks.
We wouldn't have to rape the Queen.
Right.
She would give herself to us.
Right.
Willing. Because she wants to be made love to.
Right, there's nothing violent about that at all.
Not at all.
It's simply a woman who is making a decision.
You liberals. We would caress her face.
No.
We would make beautiful love to her.
Okay, now you're making me squirm.
You know what it would be, Mike? Like one of those two-guy-one-girl pornos.
You know, show me a controversy and you always want to just jump right in.
You know what it is called?
That's your death wish.
It's called the art of seduction.
Okay, that's right. Death wish.
That's right.
You are too funny. You want to play, don't you? You want to be part of it. You want to mix it up.
No,
you're like the guy in the bar that sees the bar fight at the other end of the bar, and you somehow want to get involved in it.
Well, only because I got a rooting interest in it. My rooting interest is the fact that our industry is going to total crap down the toilet.
Well, my rooting interest happens to be the Queen of England. Guilty. Guilty. There I go. And here I am saying that to you, and then what do? I egg you on. That's terrible.
You want to dance?
You want to dance? I'll be Fred. You be Ginger.
Because you know what it would be like, Mike. We'd get a room.
Right.
Get a nice... go to Embassy Suites.
Get a nice...
A little living room.
Six-pack of wine coolers.
Nice. Flash bedroom. Mm-hmm.
Get the free TV.
Yeah, we get some Spectrovision.
Right.
We get her out of that crown.
Mm-hmm. I bet she's a woman. She's passionate. Of course she is.
She comes out wearing her house coat. And who knows? You know what? We let Philip watch.
You know what we do? And this is the softest way I can say this. We would let nature take its course.
I say this. The only rapies in that room would be Mike and I.
That's right.
Okay? You heard it.
And
the Queen wants to rape us.
Yeah, and it would be a misuse of the word. Because we'd all want to be with each other.
That's right.
Consenting adults. Consenting adults. Hank? Consenting adult?
Oh, goddamn.
It's a weird world that we live in. And once again, as we said before, and I think it should be said one more time, you know, when you think about the problems we have, and really, I know you think about the other stuff that's going on.
We're focused on.
That is a little bit more, in my opinion, just a little bit more urgent.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Whatnot. You know, we need one more palate cleanser.
Yes, we got all worked up again.
It's unconventional to be able to be making these sort of changes and announcements and whatnot in the middle of the season, but...
Oh, God.
And when I talk about the serious issues, I talk about Dale Jr. leaving DEI.
We haven't started working in that direction as far as who we'd like to drive for and whatnot.
Is he the greatest?
I understand, Dale. I understand.
Right. Mother's Day, Mother's Day, Mother's Day.
Yeah. Very good.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gary Spivak.
It was really hard because he would tell me he was sorry. He would do something like push me or throw me against the wall, but then he would cry and say, I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't mean to. I just lost my temper. I love you.
Carrie, here's Rob.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
The Don and Mike Show.
Bum, 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 bum. It's the magic of Mother's Day.
Bum, bum. Caution. Retards in area. The Don and Mike Show.
Bum, bum, bum. It's the holiday we don't understand because we all love our moms.
Yeah, we do.
So that's acceptable. When it gets to be your wife, your chick, your girlfriend, the mother of your children... That's when it gets a little hinky for guys.
A little strange.
Not that you don't want to celebrate the fact that she squeezed out your children.
Mm-hmm. Little strange. The rules have changed.
Just it's not 50-50 as far as Mother's Day, Father's Day.
Right. No.
Speaking for who's got it?
What glorious goo.
All right. Anyway, let's
see what we can do here now with a fly for Mother's Day.
I would like to alert our listening audience to have a box of Kleenex nearby because this is going to be touching.
This is on the fly, so there's no accounting for how lame this is going to be.
Mm-hmm. How magical, Don.
It's IOU by Jimmy Dean with a bunch of our favorite tapes of some of our favorite mothers.
Some of the greatest mothers in history.
Right. I think, as we mentioned about an hour ago, spoken word tribute to mothers everywhere from the great Jimmy Dean.
As you head home for your weekend, prepare to be touched.
You know, most people look through their wallets or their pocketbooks and way down at the bottom past credit cards and baby pictures, green stamps. You usually find a little old dog-eared piece of poetry.
I love you, Mommy dear. I love you, Jimmy, darling.
I was cleaning out my wallet the other day, and I ran across a whole bunch of IOUs, some of them 30 years overdue.
Get me a soda with some ice in it. Evan, hurry up, Mama. Chap, chap, Evan, come on.
Funny thing is that all these IOUs are owed to one person. And I kind of feel like right now might be a pretty good time for an accounting.
What not?
It's a wild card.
You got me there.
Wild card.
Lady, I don't give a diddly shit what they call me.
Mom, you listening? Mom, I owe you for so many things.
You love to make me hit you!
Joe!
Barbara, please! Please, Barbara!
Leave us alone, Barbara. If you need anything, ask Carol Ann. It's wonderful.
A lot of services. Like night watchman, for instance. For lying awake nights, listening for coughs, cries, creaking floorboards.
You deliberately embarrassed me in front of a reporter.
And me coming in too late. You had the eye of an eagle, the roar of a lion. But you always had a heart as big as a house.
A reporter? I told you how important it is to me. I told you.
I owe you for services as a short order cook, chef, baker. For making sirloin out of hamburger.
Austin, I'd like you to meet somebody. This is my mother, Mrs. Exposition.
How do you do?
Austin! My God, man, what have you done?
That's not your mother, it's a man, baby!
Turkey out of tuna fish. And two big old strapping boys out of leftovers. I owe you for cleaning services. For the daily scrubbing of face and ears. All work.
Tina? You haven't touched your lunch.
Done by hand. And for the frequent dusting of a small boy's pants to try to make sure that he led a spotless life.
It's raw. It's rare. Not raw.
It's got all this red juice when I push on it.
Then don't push on it.
And for washing and ironing, no laundry could ever do.
Darling, rare meat is good for you. The doctor said so. Christina. Meat loses its vitamins if it's overcooked.
For drying the tears of childhood and for ironing out the problems of growing up.
I've had my vitamins this morning. Pills.
What not?
I owe you for service as a bodyguard.
Owen, what the hell's going on out there?
Nothing, Mama.
For protecting me from the terrors of thunder. thunderstorms, nightmares, and too many green apples. And Lord knows I owe you for medical attention. For nursing me through measles, mumps, bruises, bumps, splinters, and spring fever.
Forget it! I've fought worse monsters than you for years in Hollywood. I know how to win the hard way.
Miss Crawford, we don't want any hard feelings.
You don't know what hard feelings are until I come out publicly against your product and you'll see how much you sell.
And let's not forget medical advice either. Oh, no. Important things like don't scratch it or it won't get well.
Yeah.
If you cross your eyes, they're going to stick like that.
Yeah, Jimmy.
And probably most important of all was...
Please, Miss Crawford. It's hardly necessary to make threats you surely don't mean.
Don't f*** with me, fellas! This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
Be sure you got on clean underwear, boy, in case you're in an accident.
What not?
And owe you for veterinarian services.
You forget the press I delivered to Pepsi was my power. I can use it any way I want.
For feeding every lost dog that I dragged home at the end of a rope. And for healing the pains of puppy love. And I owe you for entertainment.
You love it, don't you? You love to make me hit you!
Entertainment that kept the household going during some pretty tough times.
You lost again.
It's not fair. You're bigger than I am. It's not fair, Witch White.
Ah, but nobody ever said life was fair, Tina. I'm bigger and I'm faster. I will always beat you.
Then I'm not going to play with you anymore.
For wonderful productions at Christmas, 4th of July, and birthdays. And for making make-believe come true on a very limited budget.
Stop it, damn it! I got a rice ball in my ear.
I owe you for construction work. For building kites, confidence, hopes and dreams. And somehow you made them all touch the sky.
I love you, Mommy dear.
I love you, Tina, darling.
What not?
And for cementing a family together so it would stand the worst kinds of shocks and blows. And for laying down a good, strong foundation to build a life.
Come on, let's see another one.
John.
But I'm tired, Mommy.
Winner.
How are you for carrying charges? For carrying me on your books for the necessities of life that a growing boy just gotta have.
Only a kid.
So was I. Only a kid. I learned early. Life goes by too damn fast. You gotta know how to compete and win.
Things like a full pair of high top boots with a little pocket on the side for a jackknife. And one thing, Mom.
You said it, didn't you, Irwin?
No, Mama, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, Mama, honest to God, I didn't do it.
You told them to take me away.
No, Mama, no.
Mama.
You came to take me away.
Oh, I'm sorry. My mom is not feeling very well.
Not feeling well, my foot.
I will never, ever forget when there were only two pieces of apple pie left and three hungry people. I noticed that you were the one who suddenly decided that you really didn't like apple pie in the first place.
I don't ask much from you, girl. Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
These are just a very few of the things for which payment is long
treated by any stranger on the street.
The person I owe him to worked very cheap. She managed by simply doing it out a whole lot of things that she needed herself.
Because I am not one of your fans!
What not?
My IOUs add up to much more than I could ever hope to repay.
Hey, you know something? No, but I had a dream last night.
But you know, the nicest thing about it all is that...
No more!
There it is.
Hang on!
I know that she'll mark the entire bill paid in full.
What's wire hangers doing in this closet? What I told you, no wire hangers ever!
For just one kiss and four little words.
What's wire hangers doing in this closet?
Mom?
Answer me!
I love you.
Your friend had an accident. He's dead. Do you not bother any of the hopes to take care of me? Dead? Stay for yourself.
Larry, my friend. My friend, Larry.
My friend. You little crybaby. You bury him in the yard before he stinks up the place.
I ask you to keep the children quiet today. And for Christ's sake, get them out of the garden.
I'm sorry, Tom.
Have Tina bring me up my coffee.
What not?
Bravo.
Yeah. That's it.
That was a lot of new twists.
Great.
I liked that.
A lot of new stuff with old this year.
You got me with the dream. You got me with that one. Uh-huh. Didn't see that one coming.
Did we ever get to this one? Just give me a soda with ice.
No, you played that one, too.
Did we play the one about the wax ball?
Stop it, damn it. I got a wax ball in my ear.
I
think you covered it. The only thing I was waiting for the whole thing was wire hangers, and you saved it till the bitter end.
Christina?
I got that one.
I love you, Mommy dear. I love you, Tina, darling.
And you never played the real attack when Christina... And Joan have the real, like, you hear the smashing where they fall down together because you really, didn't we have that whole thing the other day?
Yeah, we did.
That doesn't work in that particular segment.
It doesn't work in that mashup.
But kudos for the whatnot.
Yeah, whatnot.
Man, that was special. As a tribute to Jimmy Dean.
Sure was.
And the mothers everywhere.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day.
There you go. Here. And now a man who lies to his father about his nicotine habit.
Yes, he does.
Charlie Elston.
Mm-hmm.
Standing by with the CE News.
Charlie Joe. He's a liberal.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
You got to do it the right way, Mike.
He's a liberal.
Liberal.
He's a liberal.
I'll be Fred. You be Ginger.
What's your take on it?
You know, look, these guys are extreme liberals.
Dumbass.
Right.
What not?
There it is.
Here I go. Get it.
Trina, Christopher. Damn it.
What not?
That's a great one. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. We'll get the news with Charlie. We come right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A few words from Dale Earnhardt and his sister.
Consummate unprofessionals.
Thank you.
Don and Mike.
I did that on purpose.
Ah!
Like Pee-wee did when he falls off the bike.
What's the word?
sore from planet Crackpot.
Find out.
Like a life-altering herpetic sore. The Don and Mike Show.
Here we go. It's time for news and comments now.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
And Buzz's News brought to you by eDiamonds.com. Find a little brilliance with a pair of diamonds, stud earrings from eDiamonds.com. www.e-diamonds.com. Call 1-800-HER-LOVE. Here he is now. He's naughty by nature.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Charlie Elf.
Hi, Donna Mike.
No melody.
Except for a little spike after 9/11, the divorce rate in this country has gone down. Believe it or not, divorces are at their the lowest point in 35 years.
I don't think so, Darlene.
Oh, maybe that's because the number of couples shacking up is up 1,000% since 1960.
Good news, Darlene. I'm leaving you for Dan Snyder's left leg.
Yay! Couples who are shacked up, when they break up, no divorce. So while the divorce rate is down, so is the marriage rate.
You know Larry Michael and his wife got divorced?
No, I figured you were intimating that, but I did not know that.
I didn't know that was public knowledge.
Well, Rob told me.
Oh, yeah, it's public knowledge.
Is it public knowledge?
Yeah.
Who told you?
I forget where I heard it.
It's a good answer.
Okay.
It's a good answer.
I just wanted to make your cheeks get red before the end of the week.
I knew before that.
So the divorce rate is down, and so is the marriage rate.
C-Wack, this is Larry Michael.
The marriage rate's dropped 30% in the last 25 years. That's because the failure rate for marriage is now between 40 and 45%.
That's too bad. Larry is a friend of ours, yeah. and that's too bad. And Darlene, I got no ring on my finger, baby. You know what I'm saying.
There you go, Dom.
Hey, over the line.
Way over the line. Geronimo, Spiewak, see me in my office.
By the way, a new study says sex can help people in their 40s look younger as much as plastic surgery can. The study found that at least 2 visits a week to Nirvana can erase about 10 years from folks in their 40s.
So does that even if you do it alone?
They did not clarify. I think they met with couples, but they did not clarify in their release from the Royal.
Well, the way you read it at the beginning, it sounds like, you know, just if you happen to have a moment.
In general, yeah.
Evidence is evidence, Mike.
Well, I don't know if it's alone or not, yeah.
There are always downsides, of course. A disturbing new study from Johns Hopkins says that performing that special favor on more than 5 partners in your lifetime increases the risk of throat cancer.
Thank God, I've only done it to 4 guys thus far.
Wait, there's more.
And they're all in this room.
I have nothing to say. This has stunned me.
Yeah, it's what I say. It's a disturbing new study from Johns Hopkins.
The special favor that women do for men.
Uh-huh. And, in fact, the other way around. Be you man or woman, this is apparently true.
So you mean if you eat at the Y?
It increases, or the other place, it increases your risk of throat cancer.
Oh, you mean what?
Not that.
The traditional,
yeah. Like toucan shoes.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, man to woman, woman to man.
What?
Either way, increases your risk of throat cancer if you do this with 5 or more partners during your lifetime. Increases it by 250%.
Buzz,
bad boy.
I can't believe this.
If that was the case, you would have been dead of throat cancer 20 years ago, my friend.
You remember my voice last week?
Oh, dear.
This is out of Johns Hopkins. Come on. We're not kidding around here. It's Johns Hopkins.
200%?
250%. With 5 or more partners in your lifetime performing that special favor, be you man or woman.
Three words.
Hmm?
Yeah. Tammy Fabick.
Oh, God.
That's bad, boy.
3 more words. Hot as balls.
Oh, yeah. Religious balls.
Bad, yeah, boy.
And for you, Don, don't breathe that sigh of relief if you're under 5. The study says folks who've done that between 2 and 5 partners over their lifetimes have an increased risk of 200%. And if you've had HPV...
Are you making this... I know you said Johns Hopkins.
No, it's...
It doesn't make any sense.
Call them up. Ask them. I know. It's devastating news.
All right.
I'm just passing along what they're saying at Johns Hopkins. He's going to call the hospital.
He's calling right now.
If you've had or carried HPV, well, guess where I've been. If you've had or carried HPV at any point, your risk is up 3,200% for throat cancer.
Get out of here.
What is HPV? Am I dumb?
Human papilloma virus.
That's it, exactly. Oh. That's the thing that they're talking about. Immunizing
these girls. Welcome, baby. Come join the hottest backdoor party.
I like to get bent over.
I like it more.
But you're going to have to spit on my tight little...
Oh,
oh dear.
That's gone.
They don't say ask for ass anymore.
No, they say a lot more, obviously.
They don't want to be spit on.
Wow. Well,
you're like a little kid.
You're like a little kid. You get this little joyous, like, little kid look.
I want to be, come on, spit on it.
What not?
Yeah. Well, that story brings us to our story today about sushi. If you enjoy the raw fish, then you've got to try the red snapper.
Oh, Jesus. Were you just talking about the red snapper and raw fish a moment ago when you were discussing how we might get throat cancer?
Actually, onto a different subject. Boy.
Would you
more
like
evidence.
Something? He saves it all up for Friday, doesn't he?
Would you like something cool to drink over there just to relax a little bit?
I think I'm all right.
Oh, all right.
If you enjoy the raw fish, at sushi bars, you need to know red snapper, a popular order to many people, best thing on the menu. Naturally, the U.S. and Japan have overfished it because of its popularity, and now it's also harder to get. And now some restaurants are serving other fish and passing them off as red snapper.
This is not good.
Blasphemy.
Officials in Chicago.
And how does that give you throat cancer?
I don't know that it does.
Remember your old DJ name?
It just empties your wallet.
What was my DJ name?
Red Snapper.
Red Snapper.
Red Snapper with you.
It's the Red Snapper Show. Officials in Chicago figured out this scam by running DNA tests on the red snapper they'd purchased at 14 sushi bars around the city.
And, you know, that'd be a good name for a couple of morning DJs.
Mm-hmm.
DNA, you know, like
DNA.
DNA.
Yeah.
I'm D.
And I'm A.
The DNA Show.
DNA.
I like it.
I thought you'd want to talk up something as red snapper.
Oh. No, not today.
You've been working him to death today.
Not today.
You've been working him to death. He did the IOU thing, and his fingers are still bleeding.
You know, normally, Rob puts something in the machine, and I will just blindly play it.
That's right.
Well, all right for you, Rob.
Easy point.
How are you doing? My name is Red Snapper. I want to send this one out to Carrie Spiewak. She is a battered woman.
Oh, dear.
On this Mother's Day, I would not want to rape the queen.
I like it when you work in the random thoughts.
Way to dance around
I'm
that.
On fumes.
But thank you, baby. Thank you, baby. That was good, Jack.
From my ticker.
Yeah, from my ticker.
In this little Chicago investigation of a phony red snapper, it turned out in most cases to be tilapia, which is half the price of red snapper.
Jesus, tilapia.
What about
they put
the
that
vagina?
In everything. In a few cases, it turned out to be red sea bream, which is almost as expensive as red snapper, but it isn't red snapper.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
There are only a handful of sushi companies in this entire United States, so officials in Chicago say this fraud could be nationwide.
Ooh.
One thing they have.
Ooh.
One thing they have,
and now more music with Red Snapper.
Our love is alive.
Oh, cold open.
I just want to do it with a 00 open.
One thing they have a lot of in Japan is babies abandoned by their young mothers.
The Japanese
government has sternly warned against it many times. But this week in Tokyo, a Catholic hospital opened Japan's first baby drop. It's like a night deposit box for newborns, like a drive-through. The babies then go up for adoption. The baby drop pushes the Catholic anti-abortion agenda. It goes against the Japanese government's stern warnings not to abandon babies.
You have hair in your special place.
Addresses a problem that isn't going away by itself.
So you drop a baby like you would in Blockbuster Video?
Instead of leaving them on the porch, there's apparently a drawer or something. It's actually a window. I've seen a picture of it. It's a window where you, they tried the pneumatic tubes, and that just didn't work out.
You will drop the baby in the night deposit drawer.
Rush Limbaugh slimed in Baltimore. Radio station billboard there this week got large splotches of brightly colored paint over Limbaugh's face.
I have paint all over my glorious naked body. Look at this, red splotches.
How are your suppositories?
Well, suppositories are doing fine, especially if I eat 8 or 9 baby blues prior to my suppository appointments.
Have you heard some of his propaganda today about red snapper and about oral giving you throat cancer?
You know why that is?
Why?
He is a liberal. I'd like to say hi to my good friend, Man Cow. Man Cow, the ass.
Well, Limbaugh opened his show with this billboard paint incident the other day, and the Baltimore Sun's website got nearly 250,000 hits from people searching for the picture. But calls to City Hall came in from as far away as California. The vandalism was reported to the paper by a guy at the Public Works Department in Baltimore.
Sadly for him, he was quoted in the paper as saying, it looks great. It did my heart good.
Hello there, honey. You got the paint all over that billboard and whatnot.
And whatnot. He's in a little trouble now.
Who's that with it, Robbie? 21.
21. I'm Jack Barron.
We ever played that, this is not a joke, the Rush Limbaugh parody song that he got away with?
Yeah, well, I was about to talk about that.
Not a gag. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
From the Rush Limbaugh show?
He played this. Haven't heard it, I've heard about it.
Nobody's screaming for his head.
Rock the Magic Negro.
So Imus gets fired.
Mm-hmm.
Opie and Anthony are on the ledge. This guy's okay?
Of course. So far, but he has been called out for it. It's not like anybody hasn't spoken up. Magic Negro, by the way, is a term used recently by a black columnist in the very liberal Los Angeles Times.
Rush Limbaugh's been playing this on his show for 4 months. This is not something he just brought out last week.
Right, right.
What is the guy's name?
Whatnot.
Which guy? The song's about, what is it? Oh, Barack. Barack Obama.
Barack.
Called Barack the Magic Negro.
Whatnot.
Barack the Magic Negro lives in D.C.
Hey, say what you will. Good production values, though.
God. Another ass.
What a tool.
Honest, what a stain.
Really, seriously. What a tool. And Buzz, I know you said that there
really?
Is...
Really? And Don Imus is fired, and this guy's been doing this, you said, for 4 months.
4 months. There has been some reaction to this, but not the firestorm that even today's stuff with Opie and Anthony has caused.
Right. Jesus. That's true. The song, as it goes on, is about how Barack supposedly isn't a real black man because he didn't come from the hood. It does express a very real opinion held by some black voters, but that song title on Limbaugh's show... enough to open him up to new criticism. What's fun is his defense of playing the song. Number one, Rush says he's an entertainer and this is a song parody. And then he digs a little deeper by saying that Magic Negro is actually an historical term for the nice ones in old movies.
Oh, my God.
That's from Rush.
You know, really, and he gets the free pass.
Right.
Really, where's the outrage about that? Read the last part of that quote again.
He digs himself a little deeper by saying that Magic Negro is actually an historical term for the nice ones in old movies.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Good luck being a shock jock saying that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're done. You're done
you
the next
day. You have the NAACP down here on your ass. NAACP.
You got it right.
NAACP.
Right. Oh, then there's NCAA.
That's different.
And NHRA.
But the blowhard, Rush the Blowhard, gets away with it.
He gets away with it.
Apparently so. It'd have to be some kind of raving, insane, lunatic conspiracy not to think there's any connection between Michael Moore's movies and the fact that he's now being...
Sorry, Buzz.
And the fact that he's now being investigated by the Treasury Department. That's our story when we return.
Okay, sorry about the little premature thing with our names.
No problem.
I just love it when they sing our names.
I
am a stain, just like Mancow.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
The mayors of Boner City.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Now. Hi. What did we not talk about today?
Man count?
Okay, we talked about the movie ratings. I tell you, George Lucas thinks Spider-Man 3 is silly.
Spider-Man.
The singer from Maroon 5 wishes he was gay. If Rosie O'Donnell can't get $40 million a year for her own show, she wants the gig on The Price is Right.
Fair enough.
And Piggy. Finally, Tom Bergeron.
I like her and I hate her, Rosie. Yeah, I go back and forth. What about Tom Bergeron?
Tom Bergeron is hosting a brand new show called Rapping with the Stars. That's a joke. He's not. But there is a show on MTV.
So you got me all excited there.
There is a show on MTV coming out this fall called Rapping with the Stars, in which your favorite non-musical stars will perform hip-hop songs.
I'm watching.
In a range of rap-oriented musical challenges.
Hold and on, Tammy Faye.
Will the show cross racial lines a la Vanilla Ice?
Don't know, Mike.
I hope right. so.
When Lucas said Spider-Man was silly, did he mean it like money?
No, he didn't, Ricky.
Meant it in a bad way.
He said it's bazilly.
daggers.
It's silly. It's a silly movie.
It's freaky.
There isn't much there. Once you take it apart, there's not much story.
Says George Lucas.
Genesis is.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Hello, Jar Jar Banks.
Then he threw another shovel of money into his fireplace.
This is Pot. Say hello to Kettle. You're both black.
Die soon, he will.
Hi there, Bud.
Hi, Donna.
You didn't
Mike.
Have any of those great stories in your newscast, did you?
Actually, I did not. So thank you for bringing them to us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Now, why, I ask, why would...
Hi, you're very welcome.
It's like I really did something.
That's pretty cool, old sport. It kind of worked.
All right, my lord.
Thank you, my lady.
Why, oh, why would there be any connection between Michael Moore's movies and the fact that he's now being investigated by the Treasury Department? Please. The government has better things to do than go after an Academy Award-winning filmmaker. There seems to be some question...
Follow the smell.
Some question, apparently, about whether Michael Moore got the proper permit to take some 9/11 rescue workers to Cuba to get them the health care they weren't getting here.
You know, I'm a Michael Moore fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time that he just takes his money and just eats his way to oblivion.
Yeah, might be doing more harm for the cause than he wants to. His movie Sicko premieres May 19th, you know, unless there's some government intervention. Welcome to the new age. Debbie Harry says Phil Spector pulled a gun on her, too. She tells a showbiz website that Spector aimed a gun at her at the height of Blondie's fame around 1980. Now Spector's accused of killing actress Lana Clarkson. Quoting Deborah Harry, I guess it was inevitable.
Innocent.
Yeah. She just wouldn't listen.
Every once in a while, a good cop gets drawn over to the dark side. A Detroit police officer has resigned after admitting that he and his wife baked and ate brownies made from marijuana he'd confiscated in a bus.
So good.
As you may have heard, today's weed a bit stronger than it used to be. The cop and his wife freaked out. Bad name. A fight broke out at the Boston Pops concert this
what
week.
What would Arthur Fiedler say?
There was a scream from the balcony and the sound of folding chairs falling, and then another scream, and then the music stopped. Soon all eyes were on the balcony where two men were engaged in fisticuffs, one of them now shirtless from the struggle.
And aren't they just like the those old Muppets? Remember those
yeah,
guys on the Muppet Show?
Yeah.
Remember those two?
There was a guy that looked like Arthur Fiedler.
Uh-huh. Right.
The old Arthur Fiedler from the Boston Pops.
Thank you. That's right.
Absolutely. That one guy that's up there going...
Statler and Waldorf.
Statler and Waldorf. Only Fire Rob would remember.
If this is true, you have my sympathy.
A few minutes later, the performance resumed.
Maybe I'm not so inclined.
It's Arthur Fiedler. This is the kind of thing that gets you banned in Vegas.
Now, this is the way it's going to be.
He used to run that Boston Pops with an iron fist.
And what a Boston accent.
Yes.
I'd love to hear him say, park the car.
Mm-hmm. Don't you have something to do?
Okay, he's not going to say, park the car.
I wouldn't make it a habit calling me that, son.
Arthur!
I thought that's what it was.
What's up, Artie?
Well, we ain't going in looking guilty.
Thank you.
Thank you, whatnot.
Young fella, if you're looking for trouble, I'll accommodate you.
Whatnot?
I'm scared stiff.
A dumbass amateur.
Dumbass.
As my Mexican friend said.
Yeah. What glorious goo.
That's his Mexican friend.
Senor Burns.
Mm-hmm.
Senor Monty Burns.
Buenos dias.
Forget the 40-year-old virgin. Here's the 116-year-old virgin.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
This is the supposed age of a Ukrainian man named Grigory Nestor. Grigori, I guess it would be if he's in Russia.
I'm so horny.
Even if he's only 100 years old, it's still pretty amazing because Grigori has lived his entire life as a virgin. He never even had a girlfriend. While the Guinness Book is busy checking Grigori's age.
What a mo. What a big smelly mo.
Yucky smo. I don't understand.
Here's why he says virginity helped him live more than a century. Quoting him, people who get married just argue all the time, and that's not good for your health. And finally, when guards sweep a maximum security prison, they find all kinds of things. Cell phones, drugs, moonshine, syringes. True to form, they found all that stuff in a sweep at a maximum security prison in Ireland this week. And in one cell, they found a pet bird.
Oh, and it was in a harp prison.
Hey.
Quoting, or I should say, hey.
Quoting the official report, it's believed to have been smuggled into the prison by a female visitor who concealed the bird internally.
Oh, gotcha, Buzz. Right. Okay.
And what a fine bird. Where did you hide it?
Polly, want a cracker?
Someone tell me why this bird smells like fish.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show. Sorry, we're out of time.
All right, that's it. We got to go. We got to go fight liberals.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Just like murder.
Have a great, safe weekend, everybody. Love you, Trina. Love you, Barbara. Love you, Andrew. We'll be back Monday with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 They had.
I am prepared to reveal Carrie's Mother's Day present.
What is it?
Five copays.
Five copays. Yeah, a little help thing. That's sad.
This is the Don and Mike Show.